listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Girl, you're working with some ass, yeah. You're bad, yeah. Make a nigga spend his cash, yeah. His last, yeah. Hoes frown when you pass, yeah. They mad, yeah. You gonna ride in the Jag, yeah. With that head, you can smoke, you can smoke a fire bag, yeah. A grass, yeah. Got money, I can flash, yeah. And trash, yeah. I'm a big time a nigga, yeah. Pull a trigger, yeah.
Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tales podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we're in the house on a Sunday. The Lord's Day. And we have brought together the most angelic blackness here at the Black Guy Tips, which you know, of course you can find on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, all the places that you normally, you know, find these things, because you know, that's what we out here doing in these streets. And speaking of these streets, we got the street minister for the Cold Slither network, CSPN Media mogul, Jamal over there has,
well, he doing it all, ain't he?
Right, he has a collection of black talent over there, and you know, the person that's behind the scenes, making it all go together, producing multiple shows over there, like audio behind the mic, in front of the mic talent. It's our girl Mel, aka Beauty Jackson. You can follow on Twitter, Beauty underscore Jackson. Just a general media fellow over there. What's going on?
I'm good. I think Amani's trying to get shows over there. I don't know what's happening in the chat, but Amani, we're going to have to talk later. Hey, y'all. Hey, everybody. How's everything going?
Good, good. I've just been looking at you and goo-goo-eyeing and loving your hair. And, oh, I'm just in love. But you know, you're one of my favorite people. My put like this. I have a handful of people that's on my, like, lifetime bucket list. Like, before I leave, I got to meet these people, and you was one of them.
Listen, I'm not going to the upper room without a Karen hug. I mean, Rod, you could be there. But, yeah, you know.
I watch.
You don't know why I'm there.
You and everybody else, I feel like.
Everybody come to see the real talent, me.
Yeah, I like how everybody takes it, goes out the way to let me know, like, that I ain't shit. They like, you know, it's really about your wife, and I'm like, I know, I married her. I was ahead of the curve.
She's so tiny, fussy, and fiery.
Now that I am now, yeah, I really am.
She is, man. She's growing in all kinds of ways these days, man. Yesterday, we were supposed to go out to get something to eat after the show. And she said, what you want to eat? And I said, my customary, well, what you want? And then she said, well, I actually have several ideas. And I said, who is this? Who is this? Right. Who have you been going out with? And who is this woman that stole in my house? Because, you know, normally we have to go through it.
I'm not normally no snitch, but usually when your girl knows a whole bunch of places, that's because she's been going out with the side dude.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is, y'all. I'm just saying. We had, you know, they were all places we had been, but it was just, she don't normally have that. Normally she just goes back and forth where it's like, I don't know about this. What about that? I don't know. Well, then I give up. I'm just like, what do you want? What do you want? And then she's like, no, you choose. And you know that thing, but she was like, actually, on the itinerary.
We have several
selections tonight, from the dinner menu. I said, okay, then let's do this. So
yes,
I'm lucky Grubhub now.
It was refreshing. I liked it. Like, I like this.
I was ready. Cause you know how every now and then you just have your mouth tuned up for something. I was like, I got this list of places, and I had really, like, I don't put like this. It didn't even matter which one you picked. I'd have been happy with any of them. But
it was funny because they were all places that we just started going to in the last few weeks. Because I would, like, each time I'll just be like, well, why don't we just go there? Fuck it. Like, we always drive by this place. Like, why not try something different? And, you know, I'm 3 for 3, man. Friends is good.
Now, if you ever come to Charlotte, Friends is lit. Now, when you go in there, you know, it's a bunch of white folks in there, so you might think, okay, the name sounds black, but it's white folks in here. But I think Fran is actually back in the back cooking in the back, and, you know, they just stole her name. They were like, what we name this place? Fuck it, let's call it after Fran. And some white woman was like, well, I'll be the face of it. They were like, fuck it, we don't care. And Fran was like, you know what, I'm nothing but a good old slave master. I'll let you take my name. I'll just cook in the background because that shit is fucking delicious.
That's like Friends is it's called Friends Filling Station, And I knew it was good because it got them kind of hours where you drive all the way out there and it be closed, you know, like the good restaurants always be like, we are open on the autumn solstice from 12 a.m. to 1 a.m.
One of those places that like close randomly in the middle of the day.
Yes. Yeah. Cause they don't gotta be open long. Cause crack.
Yeah. You know what? And it's so much crack that they don't even open up on Sundays.
Right.
Like, you know, that's why I said it gotta be black. Cause she was like, you know what I'm gonna do on Sunday? I'm gonna praise my Lord. Y'all can do whatever y'all want to do up in here. But I ain't missing Bible study and Sunday school and after church choir practice for y'all.
Yeah. Even in slavery, they gave, the slaves Sunday off a lot of times. Right. Worked them 6 days a week. But yeah, the hours are like open from lunch, then we take a 5 hour break, then we open for dinner or some days only dinner, some days no lunch. And but it's fire. Whew. They got some honey chicken that, man, listen,
it was flame.
It was like honey maple chicken bites or something, some crazy shit.
So part of my promise to myself at 40 is I'm crossing like people off. It's like, oh, when I visit, it's like, no, I'm setting up, like, I'm looking at dates. I'm looking at flights. When is the best time to travel here? Cause I'm not, I am definitely 40. My son got a piece, look like Wolverine. So that, like, I don't want to delay that anymore. I'm going to do that. See my folks. You know, that's one of the things. I think we take people for granted.
Right.
Because we can talk to each other every day on the internet.
Right.
It's like, okay, no, I still want to smell your breath though. So.
Yeah. So
that's one of the things that I'm going to do. Get back to like really hanging out with people. Because I've been a hermit, especially for the last year. Mm. I haven't even been to I didn't go back to New Orleans a lot for a lot of reasons, but I haven't been to my second home, D.C., since 2015.
Wow.
So like November 2015. So I've just been, like, centralized, and it's time to break out of that.
I hear you, man. Sometimes you have to get off the net and meet these people in the face to be reminded that they're real people and stuff, man, and to let people know you appreciate them while they're still here, man.
Yeah, because...
And remind them that you're a real person.
Right. That's true. Right. Because sometimes it feels like the way people talk to each other, like we forget that we're humans a lot of the times. You know, I always try to remind myself of that all the time when I'm talking to people, because it's like, I don't want people... Just because I might not agree with you on something... I don't want that to mean that I don't think you're a human being anymore. You know, obviously, you know, it varies if it's some crazy, like just ridiculous, like, but a lot of times it'll come down to just like philosophical differences that people will be like, fuck that motherfucker. Every time I see them, it's on. It's like, I don't think it works like that, face to face a lot of times. Like learn to kind of coexist, and you also get a fuller picture of people. So you remember that there's 90% of shit that you fuck with this person on.
Right.
So why would I get rid of them over the one thing we don't see eye to eye on? But I feel like now with block and mute and all this shit, it just makes it so much easier to be like, man, fuck this person, I'm done or whatnot. But
I've been unblocking people. Mm. Mostly because, and it's been like more of an exercise for me than anything. Not necessarily because I think people have changed, because I think a lot of these, but because some people are just trolls, and the way they get their jollies is by saying stupid shit on the internet that they don't even necessarily believe.
Right.
And so since I think you don't even believe it, why am I going to engage you in this stupid ass argument? So there's that. And there's also the fact that as I get more, you know, as my personality or whatever becomes more public, there are going to be a lot of people who just don't like me and don't like what I do.
Right.
And I'm going to be very vocal about how they share that. And I have to be able to function without isolating myself from that, because I'm not going to be able to isolate myself from a bad book review or a bad show review or whatever. So it's just one of those things where I started kind of changing my mind about that when I read about after Trump was elected.
Mm.
And they talk about how we were quote unquote blindsided by his election, but it's because we blocked the people who were, you know, who would have supported him. It's like, oh really, that's what you think, block. So you've got, like, as soon as they come for you, block, block. Oh, you say that, block. So we kind of isolated ourselves from an entire section of people as though they don't exist. And it's like, yeah, you need to, you can control what you take in, but we've gone overboard with it. So that's one of the reasons I've kind of like relaxed and done some, not all, some of y'all motherfuckers is gonna stay dead, but I've done some.
Yeah, I see, for me, it's like, I try to weigh, a few factors, but one, like, you know, there's some people that just don't respect your humanity. And, you know, it's hard. Like, I can't, I'm not at the point where I can, like, let those kind of people come in my space. And I don't know that I ever will be, really. Cause I don't really, you know.
So I'll say that. You don't, like, I'm not like, if you're harassing me, no, you gotta go.
Right.
Be different. So if you just disagree and it's a strong disagreement, okay, that's a strong disagreement.
Right.
But I don't act like you don't exist because we disagree.
Right. Yeah. So in a lot of cases, there are people where it's just like, maybe we disagreed about, I don't know, Bernie Sanders, but and there's people I still fuck with that they, you know, like that's they man, but I don't agree. We have space for each other and we're cool. And then there's some people that take it overboard to the harassing, or they won't let it go and stuff. And like I said, that's also a function of the, we're not seeing each other as human. Cause when you see somebody as human, you're like, well, we disagree, but that's my dog. Like, I have family members that have, issues where I'm like, yeah, I don't really, you know, agree with that. And every time it comes up, I'm gonna be like, hey man, you know, I don't fuck with that, but that's still fam. You know what I mean? Like, it's not necessarily about, ostracizing or whatnot, but it's also about the fact that we, have to coexist. And I think we lose a little bit of that on the internet, and especially like the bigger following people have.
Right.
And then other people's trust issues and stuff like that. You end up in these situations where, anytime you beef or you have an issue with somebody else that is popular or another person that y'all exist in the same sphere, there's always people on the outside silently hoping y'all get it together. Like, it's always more people on the outside that are like, I don't want to get involved, but I like you and I like you. I don't want to pick, you know, like people in a divorce. Yeah. And then there's always a very vocal, what I consider to be a minority of people, they hop in to be like egging it on each side. And I think it's easier to give in to that because they're kind of feeding our egos. Like, the ego is, everybody got an ego. The ego is, you're right, fuck everybody else. And if they got a problem with it, fuck them too. And I feel like we get that shit fed, and that's, I try to keep a perspective of the whole picture of the other people that are silently hoping we work it out too, as well as the people who are like, you know, I agree with you.
Well, I think that especially when you look at like a format like Twitter, which is where a lot of us do our interacting, it's, you've got the people who are very intelligent and have intelligent things to say, and you enjoy them. And even if they say controversial things, you know, you either disagree, you agree, whatever. And it's kind of a community. But then you've also got those people who just kind of need low-key idolatry. Mm-hmm. And so, like, everything they say has to be right.
Right.
And if you disagree with them, you're an enemy, and you know, you have to be torn down. And that's kind of bullshit. And I've had, you know, words, you know, with different people. And one of the things that I will tell anybody, if I'm popping off on something, I'm a big girl and I don't need any pylons. I don't need any help. You know, I'm not trying to, I don't inspire witch hunts. I don't want that.
Right.
That's not even something that makes me feel, like, it makes me feel awful. If I'm saying something, if I'm making a statement based on my experience, I appreciate your support, and I'm not saying I don't, but I don't need you to, like, hold me up like fucking Daenerys Targaryen. Like, I'm not sure, I got this. I appreciate but I got this. I'm just, like, a regular person, and I have flaws. So, because the other thing is, like, people will go up for you so hard, and then when it comes out that you're a human being and you do fucked up things too and all that, then when it's time to get in your ass, you know, it's like,
right.
they almost feel betrayed. And that's mm-hmm. why I'm very vocal in telling people, no, I might not tell my business, but like there's what I present to you and there's what's in the background. And some of that is a lot of flaws, right. A lot of flaws. And no, I'm not going to tell them to you because it's not your motherfucking business,
right.
But they exist and I'm not going to deny their existence. So, you know, like recognize that I'm a person. I'm some, like, I got married at 22 to a nigga named Rico. I make a lot of bad choices. Don't think that I'm above reproach. Like ever. Don't set yourself up like that.
Yeah, I feel like, too, like we've watched Twitter change over the years, like when we first got on there. And and we watch actually people become more savvy, to be honest.
Yes, and like we watch people become brands, grow into brands, develop brands. You know,
especially Black people,
right? Like particularly Black women, in my opinion. Right. Not that men haven't come on the come up, but particularly Black women, we've seen people actually get whole careers off of what they put on social media.
Right.
And when Twitter first started, like 2008, 2009, you know, probably before that, but I got on in 2009, it wasn't like this at all. Right. A lot of people just went out on Twitter back in the day, y'all, really just to have a good time.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like a big ass chat room.
And I've seen people like delete all their old tweets. I've mm-hmm. seen people rebrand their name several times, start up entire new, personalities almost.
Yes,
And a lot of it's become, I mean, it's to me, it's a natural development, even though if you flash forwarded 7 years, you'd be like, this is totally different. But it's a natural development once you realize, like, people are paying attention. People are getting money off of this shit. These words stick around forever. Mm-hmm. Like, these are things that in 2010, I just don't think people are looking at Twitter like MySpace or, you know, like, one day this won't be around. So let's just have some fun. Pull your titties out and all this shit. Mm-hmm. And then now we look back and we're like, actually, you can't just pull your titties out no more because that will fuck your whole career up.
There are things I will admit that I have deleted some tweets when I said dumb shit, mm-hmm. but not all of them because I'm a person who was saying dumb shit.
Right.
And but I did the things that I took down were things that I considered more harmful to other people. Like mm-hmm. I'm a woman, so there's somebody to call me stupid at least 10 times a day.
Right.
So, like, I'm not so much worried about being viewed in that way. I am worried about being viewed as someone who's harmful to somebody else.
Yeah, and I think also what changed the game, because even that used to be a thing where people didn't necessarily have to go back and do anything, because you know, it's like, well, that was 7 years ago or whatever. Now that, like, once Twitter started leading to people having opportunities, I think, especially when Trevor Noah first got hired and they went through his old tweets, that was a game changer for a lot of people to, like, clean your shit up or start your brand over, because if you do make it off of this platform into something else, there are people that you have that don't fuck with you, period. Like, no, at some point, there's always going to be people that don't fuck with you. It doesn't matter what you believe, who you are, what you say. They will find the time. They will go back and they will find the things you said that weren't as flattering, the shit that wasn't woke, the shit that you thought was funny and might have been funny in 2010 to most people, but in 2017 ain't. So it's kind of interesting to watch all that shit take place. But within all that, I feel like we still ended up losing a lot of people's at least perception of humanity. They say I'm static and in the chat, so I'm gonna refresh one more time, guys. Be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that. All right, we'll be right back after these messages.
We'll be right back.
All right, let me see. Should be back in about 5 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah, you just never know with this Crowdcast. Plus, I just had to update my computer this morning. So
it's just the girls.
All right, I should be back. I hope it's not roboting. You guys, let us know.
Yeah, and to piggyback on some of the things y'all were saying, and I guess my perspective is a little different than y'all's when it comes to social media, because I'm on social media. I do have a pretty modest following, but I don't. I am not on the platform that you two are on. Like, as far as followers, like, y'all have, when it comes to the platform for the average person, y'all are above average. That's kind of funny when it comes to follower count. Y'all are like really up there. I'm not. So for me, a lot of people that I block, when you're talking about blocking mail, people that I block are like the overflow of shit that actually people attack Roderick. So they'll say something to him, find me, and then come at me. Oh, we're not having a conversation, you know. And I think for me, I feel like this, and maybe because I'm an old school country girl, don't come say nothing to me you wouldn't say to my face. So I'm blocking you anyway. I don't care if you all civilized, a real person, and got fucking common sense. Don't come to me on goddamn 10, because if we were face to face, you wouldn't come yelling at me. So fuck you. I'll block you, and no, I'm not unblocking you.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that I had to address, like who I actually am, just overall, because I know what I used to be and what I am now. And so there are people who talk to you in a certain way. Like, I didn't grow up in, we just cyberbully each other and we go back and forth till time immemorial until one of us drops dead. I came from, you gonna say but so much, and then we gotta fight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, number one, I'm 40 and I don't have time to be fighting nobody. And also I have things to lose. I have a career. I have two children who, you know, I'm gonna have to explain, okay, mommy in jail because she beat somebody ass, but don't you do that. Like, there's just all these things. But, so it's a way that you just have to not only tailor your experience, but also learn how to deal with people coming at you and learn how to preserve, especially if this is what you want to do as a business, learn how to preserve your brand so that people know not to fuck with you, but that it's not going to end in a felony either. Because like, I grew up fighting country boys barefoot on gravel. So there are places you do not want to go with me. I know it looks like that. Like, I know I use big words. I'm from a whole other place. So I just try to keep it contained in a way that I can manage. And I treat everyone else like that. You don't know where people are from. You don't know what they've been through. And so it's good to just treat them with the consideration that you would want for yourself. That's one of the things, again, even when I'm disagreeing with people, because there are things that we lose in text. We all want to believe that we're super, super smart and we can always discern tone, right. But we really can't.
Right.
And then when you look at how broad the internet is, you don't know, like, you see what a person chooses to say in a bio, but like, I have friends who have Asperger's who are very, very literal. So sometimes the things that they might tweet or type will come off as abrupt or low key rude, but they just speak in a very like literal, direct way. And there's no like subtext behind it. But since I might be a snarky motherfucker, then I'm gonna add all this shit to it. So that's another thing that you have to deal with when you're absorbing somebody else's words.
Mm-hmm.
Is this it, or do I just not get it?
Yeah, I've had
like
that.
Somebody cracked a joke with me. I want to say it was Thursday or Friday morning. It was like a low key joke, and while the situation wasn't necessarily funny, they were kind of adding like a little barb to it, and I just didn't get it. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And don't text me with this, and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, okay, so I was joking. I'm like, my bad, it's 5:30 and I ain't had no, or 6:30 and I had no coffee, so sorry. And that's another thing that has helped me apologize. I'm like, if you're wrong, if you misread somebody's intent, and I think that's one of the things that, where I can say that I do have a hair trigger, and that's just one of my flaws that I always work on. Since I know it's not flaw, I try to be a little quicker to apologize rather than just assuming that I'm right. And that's another reason I don't want anybody like jumping on my bandwagon, because if I got something dead wrong, I don't need to have started like an asshole circle when I'm wrong, you know? So
yeah,
I don't know. It's a lot, especially when you're talking to a large group of people, and this is not something that I was groomed for or prepared for.
Right.
I am a high school graduate that's been a legal secretary damn near my whole life with two kids. I didn't plan to be in the public eye, but to a certain extent, or to a greater extent than your average person, I am. So I kind of, I just, it's how you say you act like you got the job you want.
Yeah, yeah. And I think for me, when you talk about like reading, when I read words, I read words, and people, a lot of people underestimate the words mean things. So a lot of people on social media, particularly Twitter, they just put things out in the world. And so when you do that, you leave it up to the interpretation of that person to interpret it and how would they interpret it. That's why in some situations, I'd rather have a face to face, because tone mean things, body language mean things, facial expressions mean things. You know, like, they mean things. And when I read something, and if I see your body language by it with those same words, it might not actually come off in the same manner. And when you're talking about brand, I had to come to the realization that we're a brand. And like you say, nobody, the average person, unless you're born a child star, and even then, the average person is not bought up with somebody that teaches them about public relations. You know, the average person is not to the point to where, you know, here's your brand, here's what you say, you know, you're going to react to these questions, here's what you do when you're under attack, here's how you answer it, here's how you squash stuff, you know, refer them to me. No, for the average person who has built their brand on social media, you are everything. You're the promoter, you're the person behind the scenes, you know, you're the producer, you're the sponsor, like, you literally do everything. And when you do
and
everything,
you worked all day.
Right, and you worked all day, y'all.
I have a job that I work all day, and then, like, that's the other thing. So you're also exhausted. Right. So there are things you're going to miss.
Also, you're going through it 24/7 now, because you can just log on and talk anytime you want. Like, it'll be funny because it'll be like someone tweeting like, I have insomnia, but I'm also about to talk about politics tonight. And it's like, you know, as if you were a professional situation, you probably don't want to have a lack of sleep and be talking about something that could piss everybody off at 3 a.m. But you know what I mean? Like, we pick on Trump for doing it, but we all kind of go through it at our own times as well. Cause we don't have media people and PR people that filter us between this and the responses we get and stuff. But one of the things I do think is important, like I said, is seeing that humanity in people. Cause
correct.
I also suffer from that, people reading tone into shit that I'm saying, where I'm literally not, like, I'm not being sarcastic, I'm not trying to be funny, I don't have an agenda, but I understand that, you know, like, say you get asked a certain question, like 90% of the time it is from somebody with an agenda. So so why can't all lives matter? That's a question that 99% of the time is just somebody asking you that because they want to troll, and they're about to then give you a bunch of stats about black on black crime or some bullshit. But maybe once in a while, from a friend or somebody you know, they ask that question, they legitimately don't know. You know what I mean? And there's that moment where you could be graceful, understanding, kind, whatever, of their ignorance or whatever, just the fact that they want to know. Or because you've seen it 100 times, you might just be like, man, fuck you, I can't believe you would do this, we ain't cool no more. And that seems like the place a lot of people go, and it's a place I try to keep myself from going, because, you know, oftentimes when I do react like that, I normally feel bad immediately. And I know the new wave is to be like, never forgive anybody, never feel bad, but sometimes I do, man. Like, I like that whole, like, I'm being petty shit, I don't feel good about being petty longer than I'm petty, you know what I'm saying? So, like, the second that I'm like, come to my senses, I'm like, yeah, that was probably the worst possible way to handle that shit. Like it's like you wake up out of a fucking dream or something. You just like, I think I just fucked up a whole friendship with this person over nothing. So yeah, man, it is a fine line, man. But I don't even know how we got into that, but I think that's a great conversation for people out there in the world.
Yeah, it yeah, like you said.
And I should probably introduce the show.
Oh, I was about to say something else.
Oh, go ahead. Don't play it. Go ahead.
And my thing, going back to some of the things you're talking about seeing people, one thing people assume on the internet, a lot of people assume that everybody on the internet is not real. And what they fail to realize is that people are real. I literally have real life functioning relationships with people that I've only seen them through the internet. like real life functioning. Hey, you my dog, how you doing, how your kids, like. And go ahead.
You know what, you would think that the fact that we're on the internet, like me, you, Mel, everybody, we individually are on there, would immediately make us feel like, well, the other people must be human too, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just because it's us, you know. Yeah. I don't like being approached as a brand. I don't like that shit. I don't like being approached as, like, when motherfuckers be like, you need to be responsible with your voice, not to be like, are you fucking, do you know that I'm gonna take a shit earlier, later, and I'm gonna go play basketball, and I'm gonna hang out with my boy. Like, I'm a person first. Yeah. before any of this shit.
I had to deal with that pretty recently, where the presumption was that all of my friends and all of my relationships are only internet based because that's where you see me, and it's like, it's sad that she got a job on the internet. Like, I have friendships that are literally decades. I have a friend, like, one of my closest friends has been my friend for 35 years. I have several friends who have been my friends for 25 years. You don't know that because they're not on Twitter, or they're not on Twitter often. The only reason some of them are on Twitter is because I'm on there, and they're like, yep, girl, you still crazy. And we'll, like, text behind that or talk. I don't see them often because I'm all the way in Shippsburg.
Right.
But so it's just, people make all of these assumptions because, okay, this is what I do, and this is something that I'm actually building. But I actually have friends, and your need to believe that I don't is a little weird, and maybe says something about you.
Right. And I'm gonna tell you right now, a lot of people, even a lot of older people, have this misconceived notion that's very old. When the internet and Facebook and Twitter and all these places first started, even when it come to online dating, it was very weird and abstract to the normal person.
Right.
And so for a lot of people, they go, oh, y'all out there with a bunch of strangers, a bunch of freaks and weirdos.
Right.
And them people ain't real. Like, and that's what, and that perception still rose to today. So they couldn't understand you getting online, actually forming real relationships with people, real life relationships. Like, I have some really, really good friends that if it was not for social media, I would not know who these people were.
Right.
And so, and from that, you grow from that. Like, at some period of time, even though I see you online, we have to meet outside of that. I don't want people think that online relationships only stick online. Eventually it becomes something where you see this person in real life, y'all see each other face to face, y'all make other arrangements, y'all talk outside of social media. Because the thing is, a lot of times, especially with us and Chris and Phenom and a lot of people, Aaron, a lot of people in the circles that we run in, a lot of people fail to realize, a lot of us talk outside of social media. Like, we are actually real true life friends. So a lot of times people wonder why they can't come in and kind of tear those walls down and kind of almost want to turn us against each other. Yeah. And all that stuff. Like, a lot of people wonder why, because we actually have built these real functioning relationships and they mean something to us.
Yeah, we came from the ASL.
I'm sorry.
We came from the ASL generation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That ASL.
We came from the dial-up.
The thing about it is, like, when you look at it, it's like, again, it's another version of not recognizing humanity, right? Because it's like, okay, I am on the internet. If all you do, I think I am the only normal person on the internet, because that's strange. You know, CJ and I met on the internet, and people didn't realize that Siege and I didn't know each other prior and didn't really, like, hug and hang out until very recently.
Right.
And it was still the same, because I'm Mel, and there are certain things, like I said, there are certain things I don't divulge everything about myself, but I'm still Melanie. People who have known me from high school will come across my Twitter and be like, bitch, you're still a nut. Right. And that's just, you know, that's just who I am. So you're not going to get a whole extra different motherfucker when you meet me. I am loud and crazy and will say things that I probably shouldn't. And and that's just kind of that's part of the experience.
Yeah, I think we also, like, there's this thing where we went from oversharing, I think, to start with certain things, and now people are kind of reining themselves in, because, you know, there was a time when people would be like, I'm just gonna talk on here on Twitter about, like, it's after dark, Now, yeah, I'm just talking about cunnilingus for the next 4 hours. And that was like a thing. It was just everybody being like, oh, you know what I like about, listen, this is how you gotta get on that clip. And it's like, now I can't see, you wouldn't see that happening so readily with certain people. Like, after dark, Twitter kind of changed a little bit.
It shifted. It's not the same.
Because you can't, like, there was a time where you could kind of do that and it felt like it was all a closed network. And now it feels like that shit will come back on your ass at the most inappropriate time. It's just like, I saw you on Melissa Harris Perry show and, what's up with that dick sucking? It's like, oh, come on now.
Yeah, I'm
at work now. What you doing?
I seen this tweet back in 2017. What were you talking about? Eating ass and licking balls?
Yeah, you still eat ass, man. I saw you on, Highly Questionable. You still eat ass? Come on, man. Calm down. So I feel like things changed.
And I because I have some really risque shit out there. And those things I didn't delete. Mm. Like, it's still, so if you search, don't go searching. But if you do, like, you want to see my shit, please don't.
What terms do you think I should put in?
I'm still a person, and that's, you know, that's who I was. But, I'm also, you know, talking to me crazy, you might get shot. So don't, you know. Once I was in a broader audience, you know, there are certain ways I don't want people to approach me. And right. I don't mean in a way that I'm asking for it. But when you say certain things, it seems like you're opening up a conversation. I'll put it to you like that. And there are certain people I realize I don't want you to think I'm opening up that conversation.
Not just private. Right, like, if you're talking about this thing, that means when I see you in public, I can walk up to you and be like, so about dick sucking, it's like, no, that's not okay.
And that was one of the things, too, it was one of the things where I realized I wanted to be, the conversations that I wanted to have on Twitter, I wanted to be able to have those offline as well. If you're going to continue a conversation, then that's most of the conversations that I start. Not weigh in on certain things, but it's just, there are more eyes on my things. And also for me, my children are older. So my children are somewhere out there in social media and my shit is getting shared across platforms. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll say something that's on Twitter and my kids may not be on Twitter, but they'll see it on Tumblr. Are people still on Tumblr?
I'm on there, but I'm up to some lascivious things. So.
Yeah, I'm on there for the booty pics. I'm not even gonna lie. That's why my account is that I like the booty pic and the titty shaking. That's why I came to Tumblr.
I will straight up mute, unblock, block and unfollow anybody kicking knowledge on Tumblr. Like, my Tumblr's so ignorant. Like, if I follow you because I want to see some fucking, and you have the audacity to load up some type of post about cultural appropriation, Black Lives Matter, activism, any other shit that I actually do believe in, I don't hear it. My dick is in my hand, dog. We not about to have this discussion about this. Where are the nipples, dog?
Come on. I'm here for the areolas.
Right. We are not on here to be sharing, spreading the word, man. I fucked around and fell into woke Tumblr one time. I had to get eject quick.
They out there.
Why are you here woke on Tumblr?
I don't know. I'm here for the thick thighs.
Right. I'm like, man, anyway.
Where is the meat? That's what I want to see. I was so disgusted with them.
Yeah,
I fell over there one day and was like, ew, how did I end up over here?
Right. I'm like, are y'all
so obscene, bitch? Get the fuck out of here.
Right. Like my Tumblr can't be somebody doing a webcam show and then the next one is somebody telling me why I need to stop shopping at Walmart because the white man is something. No, nope. So eject on that. Yeah. All right. So, things I wanted to bring up. One, we are sponsored today. Shadow Dog Productions is sponsoring this ratchetness, guys. Basically, they want you guys to go out and buy their albums. We have two albums, Karen and I, Sunspot and Other Ratchetness, and of course The Best of Rod and Karen. You can find these on Spotify and Tidal and stuff for free, or you can buy them on Amazon and iTunes. Either way, go listen to them, check them out, leave us a review, leave a comment, hit at Shadow Dog Pride on Twitter, let them know what you think about you know, me and Karen being silly. And we've recorded so many more that y'all haven't heard yet, and I can't wait for them to finish editing those so they can come out and y'all can hear us act even more stupider.
Yes.
As we do comedy audio plays. As far as news, let's see what I want to talk about. Well, I kind of talked about this with Justin on Friday for our Balls Deep Sports podcast.
Okay.
I haven't talked about it with you, Karen. I haven't talked about it with Mel.
Okay.
But have you guys heard of a man named LeVar Ball?
Yes.
I think he's a little familiar.
Okay. All right.
Low-key fellow, I believe.
Yeah.
Not a lot of opinions. Really reserved. Yeah, I've heard of that guy.
Hates attention. LeVar Ball, for those that aren't informed, I don't know who you are, but he, is the father of a NBA draft prospect who's gonna probably be a top five draft pick, coming into the league this year, Lonzo Ball. And he's a very braggadocious dude. He's the father and I would say like maybe the manager, possibly the agent of his son. He has two other sons who also ball, who will be coming up, you know, shortly. And, because he has these at least two of them are NBA prospect sons, he's kind of a person that you have to deal with if you want to, sign his sons and whatnot. He's taking full control of their image, their marketing, all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you right now, I've heard that man name so much, I call him the child's name. I was like, yeah, LeVar Ball. You be like, that ain't the ball player. I was like, well, shit, I don't even know his baby's name.
Lonzo is the baby. The thing is, I have steadfastly, consistently been on the, I don't know why y'all take this dude so seriously. He clearly is a barbershop nigga, and we can't have his outlandish point of view can't be what starts the discussion in sports for some of these serious topics, just because he's not a serious person in my opinion. And I still feel that way.
Didn't he average like 2 points per game or something stupid like that?
Yeah, but he could be Michael Jordan one-on-one according to him. He just says outlandish things. Like I saw people using some of the crazy things he said to be like, should we have a discussion about race in sports? And I'm like, I don't think you should, not off of him. Like, can we wait till somebody important says something stupid? I don't even want to talk about it when Barkley want to talk about it. Lord knows I don't want to talk about it when LeVar Ball talks about it. Who the fuck is he? But no.
You know, I would like to, there's so many slices to the pie. LeVar Ball, because when you're a proud parent, it's very hard not to talk about your kid.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody, like, you should be, especially when your kid is doing something, and especially if they do it well, you're their first cheerleaders. Like, you should be their biggest, loudest cheerleaders. That's right. Just part of being a good and supportive parent, right? So I get him being proud of his boys. I get him big up in his boys. I don't get the fact that they're saying his name more than they're saying his son's name. I don't, I'm tired of it. And to me, like, Lonzo looks like Tyson looks whenever I know I'm being extra.
Mm.
But he looks like that, like, every time you see him. Every time you see him. Like, when I know, like, I don't look at BB when I'm being extra because she's the pop-off twin. So, right. Like, it's like, okay, we about to get crunk up in this bitch.
Right.
Whereas Tyson is like, oh, my God, please
stop. Well, there's two things with that, right? Because on the one hand, you do have this idea that he's in a professional capacity operating on his kid's behalf. They don't have to bring him on for these interviews, and which is one of the reasons that I decided to check out, the same way I check out of most cable news. you can't bring Jeffrey Lord on, cuss him out, and then have me spread that viral shit around like Anderson Cooper went in on Jeffrey Lord. Anderson Cooper should have never invited Jeffrey Lord's ass on the show. So we wouldn't have, like, just give me a moment of you reporting some news without you having to bring on this troll. I would prefer that. I don't bring trolls on our podcast. Like, I only fuck with people that I fuck with. Like, you ain't never gonna catch me on here being like, I don't fuck with this nigga, but y'all, we gonna argue. Fuck that shit, man. So that's one of the things, that one of the reasons I couldn't take him serious. I was just like, I tune out, because y'all gonna bring him on, he gonna say something outrageous, and then y'all gonna have 3 days worth of news off of this dude when really it's not newsworthy. He's just a parent of a dude that's in the draft. The second thing is, he makes it where you have to bring up his parenting, and people don't want to be protective of that. But his brand and his only connection to the stories is that he is the parent of this kid. So you can't go, my business is being this kid's parent and I'm making all these decisions, but don't you dare question my decisions. You can't have it both. He is, and I thought this on Friday, and I feel like this analogy is perfect. He is a living Facebook meme, by which I mean, if you've ever, you guys are familiar with Facebook, there's these memes that start fights, and the reason they start fights is because they're not 100% right or wrong in any area. They're vague enough to bring together enough issues to make us all fight. Right. For example, if you saw a meme that had like a girl in a thong and a bra walking out the house with a book bag, and it was like, y'all gonna let y'all daughter with us to school? That's a perfect Facebook meme.
Yes, it is.
Somebody gonna say, women should be able to wear what they want. Why are you blaming her if something happened to her? It's not her fault. And then you're gonna have other people that are like, I'm a parent of a daughter. I'm open-minded about women wearing what they want. No the fuck, she can't leave my house in no bra and no panties. That's crazy. Meanwhile, this scenario's never happened. Like, no, never. It would never happen anyway. But people are at each other's throats over it because they bring their own issues to it and they fight on that. That's LeVar Ball. People are bringing up issues of, he's a black man. We need to support him because he's black. He's an asshole. I just don't like him because he's an asshole. He's an entrepreneur taking on these big companies. He's costing his son money. It's a bunch of shit that everybody just picking their couple of things and fighting on it. And I'm like, couldn't we just avoid this? And I felt like it came to a head last week. I'm gonna play this clip. It's an interview.
Can we
I'm about to put it in the chat player. Okay. You know I got you. So,
because I hadn't seen it.
This one might actually be the audio clip, but either way, he had this interview that he did on Colin Cowherd's Fox Sports show, which is a, for lack of a better term, a terrible show. He's telling her, like, there's a room of three people in this clip I'm about to play, and all three of them can go to hell. So it's like, people were picking a side, and I was like, but don't all three of them kind of suck? So he goes on Colin Cowherd's show. Colin Cowherd also has a co-host named Catherine Leahy, who hosts the show with him. And then there's LeVar Ball sitting on the couch. Is the video showing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. I'll try to blow it up for you guys, and you can see, like, this exchange.
Different amounts.
How many?
Now, at this moment, he's talking about, Colin Cowherd has been doing this interview with him, right? And he's been asking him a bunch of questions, but I watched the whole interview. He's also been feeding his ego. He's been doing the good cop to her bad cop. So she apparently has, some questions about, one, his branding. She has questions about, he did get caught in a lie about how many shoes he sold. On the internet, he was saying it was a certain amount, and then basically somebody figured out on the site through the metrics, like, that's not what you sold. And now he's been kind of dodging the question on that. Apparently in a different, like, you know, since they talk about this nigga every day over there, she's brought up, like, the same thing Mel brought up. His sons look kind of almost scared of him when he gets to talking and shit. His sons look kind of shook. She's brought these things up, and he maybe, because he doesn't bring it up in this clip, he may have an issue with her bringing that up. But the point being, that's the setup for this clip. All right. So she's now asked him, well, how many shoes did you sell? And here's his response. Come on, Clip. Don't do this.
Like I said, there's different amounts.
How many?
Stay in your lane.
Anyway, I'm just curious.
I don't even worry about her. But
this studio setup right here, this makes no sense.
Mm-mm.
This makes no sense. Like, why is she back there and he's over there and then LeVar's in the middle? It's almost like you're telling your guests to not respect her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, y'all need, if y'all gonna have this up, y'all need to be on the actual same side.
Yeah, or like a triangle, like we have in our studio now, like maybe a triangle type setup or something. This studio setup makes no sense, and it makes it very easy to ignore one of the hosts if you want. Which, I mean, if she's the co-host, she's the co-host. So the idea of being like, I came to your show and I'm not gonna respect your co-host, people can try to act like that's reasonable. It's not reasonable. Just either don't go on the show or do.
Cause she's literally at the back of most guests. So a lot of people are not even going to turn around because it's not, her and him. He's actually the name on the show.
And the mic is facing Colin. So even if a guest wanted to kind of pay her attention, you kind of can't while you're talking.
The mic set up right around the couches. Yeah.
Maybe I'm just saying this as a person with a studio in their house.
No,
but
it is. It's turned towards him.
Yeah, it's clearly set up to disrespect that one host is not as important as the other host. That's how I would look at it. But anyway, back to the clip.
Especially if you have a problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oops, sorry. Why is this pausing? All right, let's try to ride it. We'll go back a little bit. There we go.
That's kind of disrespectful.
She said she scares Lonzo. Lonzo's scared of me. She scares me. That's why I don't look that way. I don't look over there because she scares me. Well, I'm thinking of Saul right now.
I'm just trying.
Okay, so that's the point where he basically is bringing up. She didn't say it on this particular interview. She has said in the past his children are scared of him or they look scared. So now he's like, I'm scared of you. Don't talk to me. He's trying to like beat her at her own game. Okay.
Leave me alone. I'll tell you four.
Why is this freezing now? Really? You're just going to embarrass me in front of everybody on Twitter?
I'm a pair.
So she's a reporter. Her job is to probe.
She can report to whoever she wants.
So anyway, at this point, he's talking about her in third person like she ain't even in the room.
Behind her. I'm talking to you, Colin.
Well, what is your problem with me?
Hey, my problem is you are a hater.
Why
I would never wear a big baller shirt. But
no,
good.
I didn't
don't
say
even
that.
Talk to me. But I heard you say I'm not even.
Now, it is interesting here that when she asked what his problem was, he went with the you just be hating. Because I think, you know, being savvy and a chess move would have been to say, I have a problem with you talking about how I raised my kids. He might could have won that from a sentimental angle of, you know, I'm just a black man and my kids, like, I ain't saying that's what he is. But he probably could have come out looking better and making her look like a person that's just attacking him for just doing his job and trying to do the best for his boys. But instead, he said it's because she don't want to wear his clothes and she's just a hater. And I think that was a tactical mistake in this discussion.
I said that I wouldn't wear something that
it
like
says
a woman.
Big baller. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
With all due respect, you're a great reporter, just not reporting on me.
I have a right to say what you have.
Also, I'll add here that stuff where he kind of cuts off dudes and stuff whenever he goes on the show, it always plays bad optically when you're cutting off a woman mid or sentence talking over her. Like, as much as people do the, like, you know, it's all equal, do it, treat everybody the same, that's optically is not going to be the same. People are going to be like, why are you being so rude to her? God damn it, video. Fox Sports One.
To Big Baller Zone.
Well, no, I think I actually was saying it as like a point.
To
no,
her
I didn't say
it.
No.
Oh, you telling
her
now?
It's also weird that Colin Howard said he misquoted her as well, but he also joined into talking about her like she's not in the room.
Because he don't respect her.
He's not like he really. Well, she did say like it would seem like. As a host of a show, you'd be like, hey man, she's right there, like, can you talk to Catherine like a person? Like, you're on my show, don't disrespect me, let's show respect to everybody, or don't come on the show, which is also an option.
Yeah. I just said, you know, if you want to, you know, work with Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour to maybe have something that appeals to women.
I thought that was a legit. I mean, I don't have to agree, but I thought that was a pretty good point.
I don't agree with her.
But I thought it was a good point.
No, I'm actually saying it as like a point of advice.
I'm not friends with her. I don't even see it.
I wasn't saying it as like I would never wear this.
What's next?
Well, I think in order to have a successful company, you're going to have women who like your brand.
If you have a women's company. But anyways.
Oh, so you're not about, marketing to
we're
women.
Talking about big baller brand.
Okay, so let me go into this, though.
Thank you.
Well, I'm not. Don't thank me for it. I'm just,
I have to thank you.
This is all very good.
Yes. Like I said.
And then at one point, he says, and I guess they cut it out of this clip, but he says to her, like, she's going to get what's coming to her. And then she was like, oh, so you threatening me? And he was like, no, it's not a threat. You know, it's not a threat. And he's like, you know, she also brought up the fact that, you know, it's sexist that his company doesn't market to women. And he was like, well, I got a wife. So nice try or some shit. The point being,
some of my best friends are black.
Right. Right. The point being for all this shit, it's a big ass collision of everybody's issues, right? You have women being disrespected in sports media, which I think also Colin Cowherd kind of contributes to in that situation. Also, you have the black man and being attacked and shit. You have that. You can't question my fatherhood. You got that shit. You got the fact that people do feel like his kids and his parenting is up for a question because that's his fucking brand. So, like, you have all these things come together, and it's just a big-ass hodgepodge of people fighting about it. And all I want to say is this, guys. We can't let LeVar Ball be the fucking focal point for any of these discussions because he don't give a damn about that shit.
Yeah. Like, okay, so the thing about it that's so funny, and a lot of people don't like the whole her, you know, asking, are you threatening me type thing because of the optics of a white woman automatically being threatened by a black man because he talks to her like, you want to be an equal, but then it's like, okay, if you tell me as a black woman, I'm going to get what's coming to me, I'm going to call my brother. I don't give a fuck. Like, right. I'm really? Okay. No problem. I got something for you. And that's it. Like, literally just did that not too long ago. So there are like a lot of issues because what we're not going to do is operate under the guise that LeVar Ball is not sexist. We're not going to do it. Right. I don't address it as a discussion point. That is not, oh, so now he's sexist? Yes, bitch, he's sexist. Mm-hmm. Next. Like, this isn't even the question here. Did she strike a nerve with him and upset him? Yes. That's why they had both of them on the show. Like, that's why, like, they wanted exactly what happened. That's what they wanted to happen. Because when you have LeVar Ball on your show, when you have him on a show with someone who is not getting at him, he's going to do something out of line. So you know someone who has offended him or whatever, you know how that's going to go. So that was like a setup from the beginning. And I just don't buy into it. What I'm not going to do, like, I just looked at it, like when two motherfuckers on Twitter fighting and you don't like either one of them, you're like, oh, okay, I guess I'm going to go get some avocado toast.
And there you go. Like, real talk, like, I didn't find it so unreasonable that she would ask, was that a threat? Because I don't know what the fuck that was supposed to mean. But at the same...
Like, what does that mean?
Yeah,
and to me,
yeah,
he has crazy eyes. I don't care. Like, you can be mad at me. He has crazy eyes. I don't like nothing about him. And it's not because he's big and black. If he was a white guy who said I was gonna get what's coming to me, I want to know what the fuck you mean. Okay. And I want to know if you're gonna say that shit in the streets.
Can we also go into the fact that white dudes don't say this shit? Right, like on these shows, these platforms, it's normally some black dude getting in trouble with this shit, whether it's Stephen A. Smith or whoever, Shannon Sharp. Like, we all, like, it's like the media training apparently don't extend to us. I don't know if this, I mean, it seems at this point, LeVar Ball, it's easy to assume he hasn't had a lot of media training and shit, but like something like, there's a way to disagree with her without being like, without it being able to even approach the idea that you might be threatening her. And he did.
As a woman,
mm-hmm.
As a woman who says things that men don't like, my mind automatically goes back to Dee Barnes. Mm-hmm. Always. Like, whenever I think about that, mama, so when somebody says something like that, like, you've offended a person, like, that was a situation where she was in a situation, in a circumstance that offended Dr. Dre, and she thought she was gonna die. Like, mm-hmm. that's not an imaginary thing. Like, that really happened. There have been women who have been attacked for the things that they have said. Mm-hmm. So, while you look at the optics of this white woman being threatened by this black man, and we have this imagery, we have a history of all a white woman has to say is, he looked at me wrong, he did this, he did that, and a black man is lynched, that part of our mind is activated. But it's also the part of my mind where men don't like women saying things that they don't like. So when you say, I'm going to get what's coming to me, I want to know what the fuck that means.
Yeah, it's also funny because...
Like, as a black woman, I would want to know what that meant. Like, I don't particularly like... I don't like or know anything about her to cape for her. But if I was in that situation where a man told me that, I want to know what that means.
It's also interesting because
what's coming to me, bro? You need to answer that for me.
It's also interesting because the same people I see say that he was righteously offended and she should have got worse even because she questioned his parenting are the same people I see question his parenting. Like, I've seen every single person being up like, well, I don't know if what he's doing is in the best interest of his boys. The thing I don't like about him is that he's using his kids so he can get the spotlight. So then you do question his parenting. You can't say those two things and say his parenting has nothing to do with it. Like, those are parenting issues as well as business issues. If you are the management for your kid, your parenting will be brought into question. It's the only way it can work. You don't see, there's all these other people in the draft. I ain't met none of their daddies. I ain't seen nobody on TV. I haven't even seen their fucking agents on TV. This dude is the exception to the rule.
Kyrie Irving and somebody saying like they saw it as a threat to him, where her saying, I dare you to threaten me. I would dare a nigga to threaten me on a motherfucker. Let's say a motherfucker. I would dare a motherfucker to threaten me on live TV too. Who the fuck do you think you are?
Well, she didn't even. She didn't even. She. What's funny is she didn't dare him. She asked him. She's like, so is that a threat? You know. And then he was like, no. Of course not. It's not a threat. And I'm like, what the fuck could it? What else could it have been though, bruh? Like, he's not the guy to do the Emmett Till discussion about. He's not the guy, man. Like, if you're going to feel like white women be threatening people with their victimhood and shit, I agree. That is definitely a thing that happens all the time. I'm not even saying that couldn't be her motivation here. I'm not even saying it couldn't be. I'm saying this ain't the nigga to have that discussion on, cause he don't give a fuck. Like, he legitimately will, if they invite him back next week, he'll be back next week. All this shit is designed to get us to talk about it and to have Fox Sports 1 get ratings. All of it. It's Jeffrey Lord all over, but with a nigga at it, and it's making people lose their objectivity because it's a black dude. That's it. Yeah. You know, if fucking Van Jones turned to Jeffrey Lord and was like, I will choke the fuck out of you, homeboy, I don't want to have a discussion about fucking, well, Jeffrey Lord should never be threatened. I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? Richard Spencer, I don't give a fuck. Like, certain people, they exist just to move the needle for themselves. He's not thinking about no bigger issues, man. If he even brought that shit up, you know it would be some type of tie back to, and that's why you need to fuck with Ball and get these $500 shoes. That's it. That's what he's in the game for. So it's very tiring to watch people try to turn this into their particular pet take on it. Like, instead of just the bigger picture, which is, this nigga is messy, that network is messy, Colin Cowherd is messy, she's messy, Jason Whitlock is messy, it's a whole lot of mess, and everybody trying to go over there and pick a side. It ain't work. Charlamagne messy for bringing the shit up about Emmett Till. It's all a bunch of people that make messes, and folks is fighting over it. It's crazy.
It's some of, like, there are situations where we need to, it's not like, it's not one of those, how can you worry about this when this is happening, but there are times where you, well, me personally, I look at things, I'm like, is this worth my time?
Right.
No, it is not. LeVar Ball is not worth my time. Kyrie Irving talked about him, he said that he had this discussion with his father because Kyrie Irving has a very close relationship with his dad. Mm. And he went into the draft very young. And he said that he told him, Daddy, you my nigga, but I'm a man now and I have to do these things. Right. And what Kyrie said was, you have to let these boys go and make these decisions. LeVar Ball came back and was like, well, you can't even understand because your mama was dead. Right. Who says that? This right. is the nigga that you want to hang your hat on? This is the hill that you want to die on? Somebody who lost his mama before he was 18 years old.
Dog, Dale Curry don't even talk about Steph this much, and Steph was the MVP. You know, yeah. Like Dale Curry somewhere chilling.
It's not that all these fathers are invisible. I saw a comment about invisible fathers. No, they're letting their kids be men.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, he's a terrible person, man. And this, to me, has always felt like I wish people would stop talking about him seriously, because it's going to end up with some shit like this. And now it has. Like, it got to a point where it Facebook memed to the extreme. And now everybody that was not paying attention is starting to be like, let me have a hot take to defend or not defend this dude. And I'm like, could we just wait to the draft and forget he exists? Because yeah. I would love to do that, guys. I would love to.
I think that it's just one of those things where there are parents who let their kids grow and there are parents who don't. Even as a parent, like, there are things where I discuss my kids, you know, online, and now that they're much older, I do it less and less because they're young adults. And right. now they get to decide. Like, there were things, there were little stories, and I was always kind of selective of the things that I shared with them in the beginning, especially when it wasn't flattering. I'd be like, well, what are my kids, you know? Right. But, like, Tyson is a man now, and I will talk about certain of his accomplishments, but everything that he does is not for me to discuss, and it's not for me to dip my hands in. Like, Tyson chose his own college. I literally had nothing to do. As a matter of fact, we disagreed on it. Mm-hmm. We disagreed on it. But this is what I realized is Melanie ain't gonna have to pay them loans back.
Come on.
Tyson pay those loans back. You know, so it's he's an 18-year-old young man, and he's a young man, and he still needs my guidance, but he doesn't need to be jumping in front of him for everything. And right. that's just one of those things that when you are a parent, you either accept that or you do that other thing.
I'm just saying, for this nigga, y'all niggas gonna end up defending some indefensible shit just because yeah. because y'all, nobody want to be wrong on Twitter or go back on something they said. I'm sticking to what I said, which is no, not for this nigga. None of it.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck what happens to dude. I'm gonna be up here like, man, I ain't even, look, I don't even know why he fuck with them people like that. Like, straight up, one day somebody gonna just call him a nigger in his face, and I'm gonna be sitting up here like, yeah, that's too bad, isn't it? Cause he's not the guy, guys. I'm serious. He's not the guy. Watch when it happen. Don't, that seem like it's reasonable, cause he going on Fox too. That shit gonna happen.
I just kind of wonder, so, because one of the things about, LeVar was how, combative he was with his son's high school coaches.
Yeah, and I've heard that too.
Yeah. I wonder how that's going to work in the NBA.
Another thing, don't give a damn. Like, real talk, like, if an NBA team somehow ends up caving to his dad, that's on that dumbass organization.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
You got to treat that motherfucker like you treat everybody else, which is, did you put on a uniform today? Well, then you ain't got shit to do with this. We will ban your ass from the arena.
That's what I'm about to say. Well, it's me. I was like, look.
That's actually what I'm thinking. That's yeah. what I think.
I would ban him. You get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
It's probably a lot of that in the group. That this is probably going to, like, once he's drafted and on a team, a lot of this is going to be a non-issue. And once he gets the right coach or owner that's just like, okay, you 2 seconds from getting a permanent, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we're gonna know who this dude is mm-hmm. by time next. I don't even think we're gonna know who this dude is in December.
Well, the other thing is he got two other sons, so I think he'll be focusing on them after yeah. a while too. Like, he gonna have to do some more shit. But yeah, man, all I'm saying is this: he might be around for fucking 4 to 6 years because his sons. I'm not letting him lead no discussions on any important issues. That's all. Like.
I think one of the funny things about younger kids though is they tend to be the ones who will break your heart. And I think one of his sons, the younger ones, are going to see what his brother's feelings. Like, no.
Right.
Yeah, because
it's going to be one who's not nearly as good as Lonzo. It's not even going to be like a superstar. It's just going to be like the middle of the road fuck up son. Be like, no thank you.
That is true. The oldest kid is always the one that tries to please the parents the most. That is true.
You have to blaze that trail. You don't know what's going to happen when you piss your parent off in that way because you're the first one to do it. So right. You don't know what it is. Other ones have kind of observed and learned how to, like my younger sisters, I'm the oldest of four girls.
Right.
My younger sisters did whatever the fuck they wanted because they learned all through my mistakes because I was the one who was like blazing the trail. Right. So,
yeah, I do the same. I'm the oldest for my brother and my brother was the quote unquote troublemaker compared to me because he was just like, I can deal with them consequences, you know. I just was like, I just want to make our parents proud and do everything the perfect way. And if they say be home by midnight, I'll be home at 11:45. And my brother will be like, I ain't coming home. like totally different. All right. Go ahead, Karen.
Before we go on, Mel brings up a good point because a lot of parents fail to realize that children are watching. And like you said, it's one of these things, too, where the younger children are looking at social media, like they're looking at these platforms you're going on, and you're gonna be like, all right, we're gonna do this, and they're gonna shock you. They're gonna be like, daddy, I'm tired. You're gonna look around, they're gonna pack their shit up, they're gonna move out the house. Because when people fail to realize, you can push children until you push them away, and when you push them away, you bet, you know, if it's not repaired, they ain't coming back.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing, he's the focal point for all these issues. So how can we say you can't question his fatherhood? That's what he's selling. That's the brand. So it just is everybody making these fake ass lines. And I'm like, none of these lines are real because that's the product. If you bought into that, then you're part of a sucker too for being suckered into, it's just about being a good father. There's a lot of ways to be a good father. He ain't got the fucking monopoly on that. A lot of them other dudes in the draft got fathers. A lot of dudes in the NBA got fathers, and they found a way to navigate this shit without starting a fire everywhere they went. But
we're at the age too where a lot of these kids going into the draft, we have more and more kids going to the draft where their parents were superstars when we were young.
Right.
So a lot of that, and you have like a couple who might be an asshole, but then it's like, okay, no, it's like they're letting their kids be grown ass men and grown ass athletes. So
yeah, like I said, dude is just, he's not the guy. It's about that time of the year, guys, almost the end of the school year for high schoolers.
Yeah, they're having proms.
Yeah, so it's time to see girls getting banned from the prom for stupid reasons. Today's contestant was banned from the prom because she didn't go to I guess their prom must have been on a school night, so she had to leave school early to get her hair done,
which is what a lot of people have done in the past,
and as a black woman might take a while, so she had to go get her hair done, and she didn't take half of her, like she had to take half of her classes for the day or whatever. If you don't take half of your classes for that day, you can't participate in the school activity that night. Even though her mom called the day before, the issue wasn't brought up to her. Apparently, by the time she got to the salon, like the school people were basically waiting on her. She left school early for prom day to get her hair done. She was banned from entering the dance. Shatara Shorter, a 16-year-old student at Northeast High School in Oakland Park, Florida, looked gorgeous when she pulled to the prom with her date, Corday Robinson, on May 12th. In fact, the teen's mother spent $1,000 on her prom look, a long blue lace dress, a manicure and pedicure, false lashes, makeup, and eyebrow wax. Black mama, she itemized that shit. She like, listen, it cost $995.47. With her mom's permission, Shorter had left school earlier that day for a long awaited hair appointment to entwine a gold chain through her bob. However, when Shorter tried to enter the prom, a woman at the door asked for her ID. They were basically waiting on me, she said. they were informed that while she was welcome, while her date was welcome to enter, she had broken the school rule that she must, that students must attend half of the classes on the day of an activity, and she couldn't come in. So he chose not to come in as well.
Right.
But yeah, the school basically was like, look, man, they were reminded of this before the mom and the student were both reminded of this before the incident, prior to the student being signed out. And, the school administrators offered options to the family that would allow the student to meet the requirement by attending the latter half of the school day that the family declined. The mom is saying, no, I called the school the day before the prom, told them about the hair appointment. I was also never informed about the rule. But yeah, prom ruined. She wasn't able to go.
So that's how it is at my kid's school. You have to sign, like they give you a packet for their dances, whether it's homecoming, cause I had to deal with it. BB isn't a senior, but she went to homecoming. And in that packet, they have that stipulation where you have to go to school for a certain amount of time. And then there's like this mass exodus. I want to say at like 10:30 or something like that. So it's the rule. Her paying $1,000 for the prom or whatever, to me, is immaterial. A lot of people are going to be like, oh, that's a lot to pay. I mean, it's also not your business. You don't know, like, right. You don't know what that woman makes. You don't, like, it's whatever. But they, that's one of the stipulations. And if you spent that type of money on a prom, I would think that you would be a little more, conscious of following the rules so that she could actually go. Like when you, one of the things about the school system, if you want your kid to be an exception to some shit, the schools love showing you that your kid ain't special. Mm-hmm. They love doing that. So I don't know, man. Like if I spent $1,000, I'm going to make sure that you are able to participate. If they told her that she could participate, then that would be something totally different. But yeah. If they warned her before she left, I don't know what recourse she had.
Well, it's interesting because they're saying they warned her, and she's saying they didn't. Like the mom is like, I called, let them know this was the plan the day before, and they had no issues with it. And then they're like, oh no, we told her. So somebody lying. I don't know who lying. Somebody lying. If there was a warning to be had and it wasn't given, clearly. Somebody dropped the ball somewhere.
And maybe I'm just a different kind of parent because, like, prom is cool and I want you to look nice or whatever, but you still gotta get your education, motherfucker. We not skipping class to party.
Yeah.
Just not. Like, you going to school. So, like, Tyson's prom is on a Thursday, which, what the fuck?
Wow.
But he's going to school that day.
And then they gotta go to school Friday, too?
Nah, because we're gonna do, they're gonna unprom him. Fuck that shit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I just didn't know the rules. I
don't go the day after, right?
No, yeah. I mean, they're exams and, I mean, all that jazz. And I don't really expect a lot of, they don't, like, after, because last year he did a play and the play ran till Sunday and they worked so hard, they didn't expect most of the kids to come to school the next day. And I think it's a similar, thing for prom. They know there's going to be a lot of kids who are just out, but they do have to go the day of, which I get, you know, but
right,
that's just one of the things to deal with. That's with anything. Like, it's sort of like when you look at a lot of jobs, so you have this day off for, say, Christmas or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you decide you want to extend your vacation and call out on the 26th, a lot of people not going to pay you for your vacation on Christmas. Mm-hmm. That's just, like, it's rules. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I do feel bad for her a little bit. She is 16, so I feel like she probably gonna have two more chances to go to prom.
Right.
Depending on what, if she's in advanced grade or not, or what her birthday is. So hopefully it's more of like a learning experience and shit. The money part, that's not really my business, so it doesn't really, I just know that if a black woman tell you she spent $1,000, she got receipts is all I'm saying. I just could picture her mama being like, I spent $1,000. But I do wonder if they just didn't think the rule was either that important, or if the school is lying about telling them that they told them, because I do wonder that shit, because I feel like the school would definitely not admit to not telling her. It would just make the kid look bad and the kid suffer. Because the problem I have with most of the school shit is, while I do think there has to be some uniformity, we don't have kids and shit, so can't speak to it from personal experience, there should be some uniformity and stuff. Sometimes these zero tolerance rules get, it's like they're just, they feed to the totalitarianism in people, where we then become so punitive and so like, but it's a rule, that it's almost like we forget that, you know, we're dealing with a whole bunch of young human beings. There's gonna be allowances, there's gonna be some mistakes, and yeah, you wanna be
overdone.
Yeah, that, like, if overdone. honestly, man, if this was the prom and she was the only girl that y'all were gonna be like no to, I would have let her in. Like, just because to me it's just like, well, fuck it, man, you fucked up, okay, like maybe talk to her for a second or something, like, now you know that was fucked up, you know, do after school suspension, like some, like, can you do a some, like in school suspension or something, like you spend
make her come the next day, like Mel said, tutor, you got Thursday, like, but like we better sit your ass tomorrow.
It just feel like there should be more levels to shit, rather than, because the zero tolerance just seems fucked up,
right?
But and it feels like and maybe it's just me projecting, but it feels almost like people kind of revel in the power of being able to say no to somebody and fuck up their night, when it shouldn't be that fucking serious.
Well, we also have to understand that there are a lot of people, especially like more so now than ever, who fucking hate kids. Yes. Like hate kids irrationally. Yes. And hate their joy and anything that's going to make you happy, because they have decided that millennials, or whatever the fuck this generation is called now, they're so entitled. So I need to let you know that you ain't shit and you ain't special and fuck your prom and your hair dusty and uneven anyway. Like that's just how people are. And then we love to like, and then we'll get on the bandwagon and be like, well, yeah, because the mama is blah, blah, blah. And the school, and it's like, it's all a bunch of bullshit. People don't like kids.
Yo,
people
remember, not too long ago, the girls who got kicked out that flight for wearing, they were like 10 and 8 or some shit, and they were wearing, yoga pants. And they were like, well, there is a rule that you need to be dressed professionally if you're gonna use these, complimentary tickets that, like, you get through so and so. And I'm like, what's professional for a 10-year-old? What's professional for an 8-year-old girl? Like, are we there yet where we're just like, but it's a rule? Because sometimes it feels like that's the point, rather than to look at the rule and be like, is this rule really like
valid?
Like, does this rule count for everything? Should this be the same rule we use? Like, for example, they probably use this rule for athletic shit too. Like, look, you want to play in the game tonight, your ass better be in class. Makes total sense.
Yeah,
makes total sense in that instance.
That's part of it's all grouped in, like, extra, there's a blanket rule for extracurricular activities, right? And so that's also the rule. Like, my son could not, like, Tyson play football, so he couldn't, if he called out or if he didn't go to school, there was no game, so right, he never missed a game. That's just that they don't segment,
right?
I'm
just saying, I don't know if a fucking playing in a basketball game where you have some different concerns about kids in school and grades, right, and shit, and cheating the system, compared to, say, prom or a social or something like that. I don't know if it's the same issues, but it's also weird that there's no levels in between no and yes. Like, it just feels like there had to be some mediation you could arrive to where you're like, okay, 1 hour after school suspension, you help clean up the bleachers, or after the, you know, tomorrow, and then we, okay, cool, like, I'll see you for that hour.
I gotta call shenanigans on something I see in the chat. Ain't no black woman in the history of ever going to an event at night and getting their hair done the day before. So
right, come on now. It's, you knew you was pushing it with the whole comeback for second half of class. You knew that was pushing it. You might not make it back, dog. My mom worked in the salon, dog. It could be an all day event, depending on what you want done, you know?
And where you go, yes.
Right. Like, you might not have time to hit the, you know, I left school at 2 p.m. and make it to the prom and be ready and everything on time. Like, you just never know. And plus, everybody probably was getting their hair done that day. And plus, what if she was the good beautician and now I gotta fucking risk my hair with the one with the chair with the woman that they ain't got no customers? Come on now. It's a big night.
Like, you do Like, if you do what you have to do, that's fine. I'm just glad that I had parents who knew that fly was important. I'm sorry if that was, that's enough. If she, like, she, if you get an appointment the day of, you go the day of.
Right. Hey, come on now. All right, and now another kind of, like I said, end of school, time for controversy. Honor roll student was suspended from school because of a shirt she wore to school that apparently violated the dress code. And it's so bad, it might lead to her possibly not getting a scholarship. Yeah, like the reaction to it.
Look at this shirt tonight. It is at the center of a controversy. A straight A high school student says this outfit got her suspended for 2 weeks, and now she won't be able to graduate despite having multiple scholarship offers. NBC Charlotte's Tanya Mendes joins us live tonight. Tanya, you spoke with her parents and the school, and of course, we know there are multiple sides to every story.
Well, of course, and this school doesn't mess around when it comes to its dress code policies. In fact, earlier this year, 45 girls were brought into the principal's office just because they were wearing leggings without shirts that were long enough. So to say that this school takes it seriously would be an understatement. Well, this girl says that what happened with her dress code spun so far out of control that now she could be expelled and her scholarships that she needs could be gone.
I'll never wear a shirt.
Summer knew when she wore that shirt to Hickory Ridge High.
I had it right here. So okay. The tops of my shoulders.
She could be violating the dress code.
It's usually taken really seriously.
The school makes it clear off-the-shoulder tops are not allowed, and the principal came to enforce it in the cafeteria.
She came up to me. She said, "Do you have a jacket?" I said, "No, I don't."
A friend gave Summer one of hers. She thought that was the end of it.
And then pulled it up, pulled the jacket over it, zipped up the jacket.
But
okay, hold on. I went out the chat. Give me 1 second. Mm-hmm. I will refresh. I have no idea why that happened. Wait, I see me in the chat. Oh, but y'all not moving. Oh, is the internet out?
I don't know.
All right, I'll refresh. There. You see mail?
Yeah, I see mail and I'm still here.
Okay, all right. I'm refreshing right now. Good God. Crowdcast just fucking hates me today, man. I just don't know what to do. All right, reload. I'll be right back. Tell everybody I'll be right back in the chat, please. You know how it is. So did y'all see any of the video?
Yes.
Okay. It's almost time to switch over sessions too. But we should be able to finish this video for a time.
Have worn to school and it's like all kind of weed, half naked hoes, like anything. I'm like, you can wear that to school, and absolutely, I see it all the time.
All right, I'm back. Is it working? I'm back. Y'all see me, Karen?
Mm-hmm. Hey.
All right. Yeah. Sorry about that. And I'll share my screen again. And I don't know how much of the story y'all heard. I'll try to restart it, I guess, if y'all didn't get to hear it. Let's see here. I'll rewind this bad boy. Okay. Oh, what did I just do?
But we see it.
Y'all do see it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Hold on.
We see what you see.
I think I made it go to the wrong story. Get back to, I guess I just gotta hit the back button or some shit. What the fuck? What happened? Hold on. Nope, that's not
trying to find a story.
Yeah, I like clicked on the wrong one and it, she was just like, yeah, fuck everything else, we got 5 different stories, that's more fire, son. Don't nobody care about that little girl and her future in school.
But it's always like, it's always girls who are penalized. It's hair, it's a shirt, like it's always something, and it's always these excessive expansions, and it's almost exclusively black and brown girls who are getting like suspended, exclusively black and brown girls who perform well, who are getting suspended for like 2 weeks. It's almost like you're saying, yeah, you look, insert slur here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might be smart, but guess what? I'm gonna fuck you up anyway. I hate it.
Yeah, and this, like, I think I have a natural disposition against the zero tolerance rules, and I just,
oh yeah, I'm not here for zero tolerance because it's dumb.
Like, I might fall on the side of like, I'm probably on the side of the radical
tonight.
I'm probably falling on the side of the radical type approach more often than not, and I'm sure people that probably, you know, frustrates some people listening to this, but I'm pretty much always gonna be on the side of there had to be something other than this shit.
Right.
Because it's too extreme to me.
Whenever they would try to do zero tolerance with my kids, Melanie was at the school and was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
This is what the fuck you're
doing. And it's an extra, burden on the parents too. Like now you have to worry about going to school to protect your kid because, which is something a lot of parents don't have to worry about. Cause it's like, well, they won't be treating my kid unfair. They won't be enforcing zero tolerance on my kid's behavior. So I'm good. I can just trust the administrators to do their job. And we did a study on here the other, few months ago where black parents had less confidence in their school than white parents did.
You have to show up and let them know you're ready to act a ass. Because right. As soon as they start talking that zero tolerance shit, it's like, okay, who is above you?
Right.
And then who is above them? Because I need you to know that this is going to escalate. There was one time I deferred to the other parent, and I regret it because it was just a different, he just had a different approach to it. And he's not here, so he doesn't, recognize being out of school for 10 days is absolutely ridiculous and excessive, and you're not gonna do that to my daughter.
That's why so many of these stories end up on the news, because once you go up the chain of command, it's like, well, let's see what motherfucking WKDC got to say about it then, right, let me finish.
And I am that mama. I am definitely that mama. And that I put everything that I need to put after I have that conversation with you, I put it in email because I need you to know that this can be printed out and sent elsewhere.
Come on. All right, let me finish playing her story.
A controversy. A straight A high school student says this outfit got her suspended for 2 weeks, and now she won't be able to graduate despite having multiple scholarship offers. NBC Charlotte's Tanya Mendes joins us live tonight. Tanya, you spoke with her parents and the school, and of course, we know there are multiple sides to every story.
Well, of course, and this school doesn't mess around when it comes to its dress code policies. In fact, earlier this year, 45 girls were brought into the principal's office just because they were wearing leggings without shirts that were long enough. So to say that this school takes it seriously would be an understatement. Well, this girl says that what happened with her dress code spun so far out of control that now she could be expelled and her scholarships that she needs could be gone.
I'll never wear a shirt.
Summer knew when she wore that shirt to Hickory Ridge High.
I had it right here. So okay. The tops of my shoulders.
She could be violating the dress code.
It's usually taken really seriously.
The school makes it clear off-the-shoulder tops are not allowed, and the principal came to enforce it in the cafeteria.
She came up to me. She said, do you have a jacket? I said, no, I don't.
A friend gave Summer one of hers. She thought that was the end of it.
And then I, pulled it up. Pulled the jacket over it, zipped up the jacket.
But Summer says the principal wasn't satisfied, ordered her to go to the office to change. The honor roll senior has had issues with the principal before, to the point where her mother had to get involved.
I said, I apologize, but I can't go anywhere with you unless my mom is on the phone.
So Summer sat and waited for her mom's call. That's when Summer says the principal called the SRO for backup.
Officer Elwood was within 5 feet of me, had his hand on his gun. She said, I'm going to give you an ultimatum. We have tried to call your mother. You either come with me to the control room to change your shirt, or we will arrest you.
Summer's mom would eventually call back, so she agreed to go to the office. But by then it was too late. The senior with a 4.4 GPA, suspended for 10 days, told she can't walk at graduation.
A full ride means so much, and that is on the line right now.
Her future, possibly stripped, all because of a shirt. Summer says it's a lot to shoulder.
It's just sad because I worked so hard for 4 years to walk across that stage, and we have drug dealers walking across that stage, and we have sex offenders walking across that stage, and then the 4.4 student who shoulders can't.
So this is the official suspension letter, and you can see right here the reason for her suspension, technically not the dress code violation, but rather insubordination. It goes on to say that Summer didn't listen. She denied that her shirt was ever a problem. Her mother, though, says she plans on appealing. reporting live at Hickory.
All right. So hold on, let me check the time. Let me make sure we don't have to go into another set. Oh yeah, we gotta go into the next segment. Give me 1 second, guys. I'm gonna invite everybody back on screen. 1 second. All right, I knew that would take us up to the break. Here we go. Be right back, everybody. Just hold on to your seats. All right, prepare to go live. Invite the audience back and get y'all latest back on the screen. See, prepare to go live. There we go. All right, cool. I should be coming back on screen and going live. Yes. And let me add Mel back. Let me see. Where is Mel? There she go. And I'm adding Mel back, so we should be good to go after this. Yeah, I see. There we go. So, yeah, man, basically, once again, a few things I noticed. Obviously, 45 girls brought to the office.
Right!
Mm-hmm. The other thing, looked to be kind of black or brownish girl. Interesting. Overachieving, 4.4 GPA. The problem wasn't that her shirt was the problem. It was the insubordination, which if you look at the insubordination, it was, I want to talk to my mom before I go in this office with y'all. Called the resource officer, put his hand on his gun, threatened to arrest her over a fucking shirt at this point. Won't be able to walk across the stage. Might fuck up her scholarship, might not graduate. And the main recourse they have is the news, because obviously no school recourse is gonna reach a resolution. So you pretty much gotta embarrass the school into doing the right thing. This is another reason I think those zero tolerance shit is bullshit, man. It's for authoritarians. And especially when you look at that code, cause they flashed it real quick. The whole fucking dress code for everything was about girls. Like it said,
girls.
Yeah, and so like the impetus for the rule is the part that doesn't get questioned. It always gets people always simplify it to, that was the rule, you knew the rule. My question is, why the fuck is it a rule in the first place? If the whole point of the rule is to say girls need to dress a certain way, boys y'all good, then the fucking rule is fucked up.
Can I tell y'all something as a mama too? Her mama not allowed several times.
Yeah, her mama gonna come down and show her ass, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and that's why she they didn't want her to wait until her mama called, because they knew it was about to be something real.
Yeah, and also I, you know, as a man, I noticed too, she's a very pretty girl. She's well endowed. She got big titties essentially. It's also that sexualization too, where it's like, oh, I saw your titties. You got to go. It's the same shit they do with prom dresses. That's about to come up too, where it's about to be girls getting kicked out of the prom. And it's always the quote unquote more mature looking girls, because some dude somewhere went, oh, this aroused some sexual feelings that I don't feel comfortable with for a 16, 17, 18 year old girl that I'm, you know, that I'm working at this prom. She got to get the fuck out. Where, as opposed to just like, you know, that's the same dress that if somebody was 75 pounds, 95 pounds wearing that same fucking dress, you'd be fine with it. You'd be just elegant. And if she wasn't curvaceous or something, completely fine with it. She got a couple curves. She got to get the fuck out. This Jezebel is ruining the whole prom. So yeah, man, I don't fuck with these zero tolerance rules. Mm-hmm. It just feels so forced and messed up. And the penalty
is so harsh.
If she lose her scholarship opportunities over this shit, over a shirt,
oh, there will be some lawsuits. Like, yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're gonna, like, one way or the other, her education is gonna be paying for it. It might be the school system who's paying for her education, but her education is gonna be taken care of. It's just that they want to, there's just this overwhelming need. There's just, put women in their place. That,
right.
narrative has never changed. Yeah. That narrative has never changed. And it's become even more so since the younger girls get when they are actualized, when they feel more comfortable with themselves, when they feel more empowered. The more empowered girls become, those zero tolerance policies have increasingly targeted them.
Right.
It's like if you look at like the suspension rates for mm-hmm. black and brown girls, out of control.
Yep.
And it's just to remind them little jigaboos and whatever else, you ain't special.
It's why we can't, in my opinion, as a black person, I can never empower these schools or support this shit. Because I always feel like I know the bias is there. It's like how I'm against the death penalty. Not because I don't think motherfuckers should die. I read stories every day where I'm like, kill that motherfucker. Nothing on this earth they can do that will erase what they've done. Period. They ain't gonna cure cancer. Get them off the earth. I'm a vengeful, petty, angry motherfucker at this moment. But I can't really be pro-death penalty because y'all only killing us. You know what I mean?
And a percentage of us is innocent.
Right. I already know that this justice system is weighed against us, particularly. And if somebody kills me and they white, they ain't going to get the death penalty. But if I am responsible for some white person's death, I'm a bitch happen to be the one to get it. So I can't be pro-death penalty, not because I don't agree with the principle of it. I don't agree with the execution of it. No pun intended. Same thing with these zero tolerance things. The principle of the idea that, like, look, man, we just kind of want these kids to focus on their education. We, you know, school uniform type thing. Like, I get it. I really do understand that it might be a distraction or lead to some shit if, you know, motherfuckers is I was at school when it was like clowning your jeepers or some shit. And you like, well, that's not very productive at all. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. I do. But it's human and you're never going to solve for it. So once people break the rules, because people always break a rule, who are the people getting in trouble? Because if it's only black and brown folks getting the penalties, fuck these rules. You know what I mean? So that's the part that bothers me is there isn't going to be another counterfactual. There's not going to be some white girl that we're talking about next week. It's always going to end up with us being like, and here's another brown girl clicked out of the prom. And here's another one that can't go to school. And look at her. She's losing her scholarship. I'm just sick of these fucking these things, and it's mostly girls and mostly black and brown girls.
Yes.
I mean, when you look at it, the schools that have gun, like, why the fuck does somebody have a gun in a school?
Right.
Like, why is that even a thing? Right. Why is that even a thing? And why are you putting your hand on a gun over a goddamn shirt?
Why do they even call them school resource officers? What's the resource? Bullets?
They're cops.
Right. You a cop, bro. You not know.
And you're like your first thing is to put your hand on your gun. Are you fucking insane? Who is hiring these?
And she was almost put into the criminal justice system over this fucking shirt. The principal was willing to be like, I don't want to deal with your mama. Do I need to have you arrested?
Yeah, because you know.
I feel that the more, like, we have all these stipulations for what it takes to be a principal, a teacher, or whatever. And the higher the standards, the less actual people skills they're allowed to have. Like, you don't know how to talk to a 17-year-old girl. I'm a fucking high school student. Do you think that I have a 16-year-old and an 18-year-old who are very mouthy and teenagery. You think I don't know how to talk to them to get them to do what I need them to do?
Because
I'm going to beat them down. It's because I know how to fucking talk to kids.
What was even the issue after she put the jacket on? I don't even understand how did it escalate after her friend gave her a jacket?
Because
this little brown bitch ain't do what the fuck I said.
Right. The principal pressed the issue. And the thing about these zero tolerance rules, I'm going to keep this real. It's not only for children. It falls into adulthood. Because most people who work in corporate America, most black women who work in corporate America, the same thing has happened to them. They have these fuck ass rules. Don't wear no certain types of shoes. You know, your hair can't be in certain types of ways. And, you know, shit like that. And you try to follow the rules, but when you walk in there, you be like, oh, okay, now, I can't do this, but I see this white bitch come here every day with her fucking toes out, and these goddamn flip-flops, and ain't nobody bought her the goddamn human resources.
Yeah, and I seen a picture of their principal, too. White lady, just like you thought.
Well, you didn't even have to tell me that. You didn't even tell me when I know your first response is to get the cops, I already know what you are.
Right. In other news, by the way, 100 for the last two stories. I'm not doing fucking with black people today. That was it. In Texas, there really can be too much of what some people think is a good thing. While every state has odd laws on the books, the Lone Star State has one regulating the possession of a sex toy. Texas bans the possession of or promoting the use of more than 6 dildos. So I'm gonna have to turn some people in around here. I'm not saying who, but some people are in clear violation of the game. That's all I'm saying. The law in question appears to be aimed at adult performances, as it spells out use in play, motion picture, dance, or other exhibition performed before an audience. The law also labels a sex toy as an obscene device and declares it a crime if someone possesses 6 or more obscene devices or identical or similar obscene articles is presumed to possess them with the intent to promote the same. The law was written in 1973, at a time when the U.S. Supreme Court was dealing with obscenity laws, and cases from around the country takes a tough stance on people who have the device.
Yeah, y'all just know update that fucking rule, and somebody just found a way to re-implement it.
It does make exceptions, guys, okay? If you have multiple devices for medical or law enforcement purposes, so.
Who's out here jacking off and pulling out the vibrators and the rabbits for their police officer job?
If you're a dildo detective, you are covered under this. So don't worry about it. You're fine. Okay? If you're a cock cop,
if you have 7, that's like possession with the
happening? You going to jail with the weed man.
That's when the Rockefeller laws kick in, when you got 7. You gotta go.
Okay, so can I be real though?
Mm-hmm. I'd be going to jail. I think
this is a legal issue. Mm-hmm. I do think that 6 dildos is a lot.
You think it's a lot? Okay.
I don't think it's a lot. Who cares?
I'm gonna tell you right now. I don't think 6 dildos is a lot. I'm gonna tell you right now. I think you need to be prepared for several different type of situations.
Yeah, because a lot of times, depending on what kind of mood you're in, mm-hmm. what kind of length you want, what kind of male, they all don't do the same thing.
Right.
Some of them you might want to spin. Sometimes you might want to gyrate. You know, sometimes you might want the one to go up and down.
I mean, look, there's a reason to have a rabbit. There's a reason to have a Hitachi.
I'm just saying,
there's a reason for all kinds of indoors. You might want the one, the curve one, to get the G-spot vibe. You know what I'm saying? You might want the joint with the little dolphin on it, you know, because you can work that two ways. You can go dolphin the clit straight up, or you can hit the penetration on it. You might want the one to give you the little motion with the little spinning part. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot of reasons to own several different type of vibrators. I'm just saying, you might need one for on the go. You might want to put it in your purse. What if I'm traveling? I'm going out of town. Now I'm gonna need my away game dildo. Okay, I gotta bring my road game. What if I'm meeting somebody for a sexcapade at the hotel? You know what I'm saying? I got to keep my game face dildo on. Like, I can't, that one gotta be shiny. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of reasons to have multiple ones. It feels like this is pretty restrictive and puritanical. Mm-hmm. And I also noticed it doesn't cover fleshlights. Interesting. I can own as many fleshlights as I want, huh?
Conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very offended that Ron Popeil never got into the dildo business. What's up with that?
What was up? I don't know. Feel like Puff Daddy missed it. Feel like a lot of people missed that wave, man.
People missed it.
LeVar Ball. You know,
that's a really weird, but y'all know I'm all for Texas seceding from the United States, so
yeah,
whenever people start talking about Texas secession, I'm like, when, please, when? I feel like Texas and Florida should be their own country, so when is this gonna happen?
Shout out to our listeners in Texas, man. I'll save y'all.
I love y'all and I would happily host you, some of you.
Yeah,
but
Doggo and Nicole, you know.
Yeah, we got y'all, man.
We got y'all. Y'all come on up here.
The rest of y'all, bye.
Okay. Big Baller Brand is not going to do dildos because he doesn't market to women.
Right, and it's not sexist.
That's how you feel about gay men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, I'm against 6. Mm-mm.
That would be so dope if gay people took over Big Baller Brand. and it became like the thing for gay people to wear because it got balls in it.
Right. He better not let that domain lapse.
It'll really come out.
You gonna click
y'all that. Think he's saying problematic shit now. Woo!
You gonna click that link and it's gonna be like, it's raining men. Hallelujah, it's raining men.
Absolutely shit. I would pay to be a fly on the wall if that ever happened. Mm-hmm.
What glitter gonna be everywhere when you hit that page? It's gonna have an autoplay.
Only reason I hope it don't happen is because some of these niggas have decided to defend anything he does, and I don't feel like arguing.
Yeah. I don't want the homophobic circle.
Right.
I told somebody,
I said the one thing he could do to make sure that niggas will stop defending him and start respecting black women. that'll be the line. This motherfucker.
He'll be a one man army then.
A feminist. Like, just say some shit. We need to respect our sisters, y'all. Shit, niggas turned on Jesse for saying that shit. He did that. Really? You gonna bring it up now of all times? Like, that's the one thing you can lose everybody on. But yeah, it does make exceptions for people with law enforcement stuff, but there's no exception for enthusiastic collectors or groups like Cox Not Glocks, which staged an anti-campus carry law rally last year, which means you can legally own more guns and sex toys in the Lone Star State. No one was prosecuted after the rally for handing out dildos, and a federal appeals court overturned the statute about a decade ago. But thus far, the ongoing legislative session in Austin, lawmakers have paid scant attention to taking it off the books.
Well, I mean, you know, up until recently, gay sex was illegal in
still is a lot of places.
Yeah, still is a lot of places.
Once the Supreme Court ruled on it, because mm-hmm. the Supreme Court ultimately ruled on it, and I think that overturned everything because it superseded all the state stuff.
Okay,
if I'm not mistaken, but that was still pretty recent that happened, and I mean recent like within the last 8 to 10 years.
Yep. Like sodomy laws, that used to be a thing where it's like two gay dudes fucking in the park. Throw some sodomy on that too. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like
sprinkle a little bit of sodomy on it.
Yeah. Blackish is getting a spinoff called Collegeish, and it's been officially ordered to series at Freeform, and it'll star Yara Shahidi.
Yay!
So she getting her own show. It's almost like it going a more woke version of Cosby in a Different World, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
with less of the Cosby issues.
Yeah, less of that, hopefully. And it's kind of interesting too because it's not gonna be on the same network. Even though Disney owns Freeform,
right?
It's gonna be a 13 episode series. And Deion Cole will also be in it. So I wonder what they're gonna do to have what's his role gonna be in it? Because I love Deion Cole, man. That's a funny ass dude.
All the cool young kids are going now. Like a lot of the young programming that used to be like whatever the CW or whatever.
Yeah, the nerd shit going over there. Cloak and Dagger. I want to say either New Mutants or one of them. Like, yeah, they getting a lot of properties over there. So
yeah,
I don't even know what channel it is.
Me either.
So. It's like I have Verizon, I have FiOS, and it's like $6.99.
Okay,
I think like it's there, but I have it in my favorites because it does like Harry Potter weekends.
Okay. Well, I gotta look it up, man, because it looks like I'm gonna be watching this channel because I do follow all that nerd shit, so I gotta see Cloak and Dagger.
It wasn't Disney, it was ABC Family. It used to be ABC Family.
Okay. Well, good for them on the rebrand. Speaking of rebranding and new spinoff shows, George R.R. Martin says there are 5 Game of Thrones spinoffs in developments, and they're all prequels.
And the Winds of Winter still ain't here.
And the Winds of Winter still ain't here.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna punch him right now.
Told y'all he gonna die before all this shit get done. That man old.
You know what's interesting to me is, as a person that didn't read the books, and I know they left a lot of stuff out because people that read the books normally do try to tell you all the stuff that you don't want to know. And it's kind of dying down because we're getting it to a point where they don't have a book, but we about to get a season.
Yeah, no, it's done. Like, there's nothing else you can do with the books after a season. Last season was the first season that we had, like, there were clips of The Winds of Winter, but there was nothing, there's no book to go with.
And I love it. I'm not even gonna lie. It was the most peacefulest Game of Thrones season ever. I loved it. No motherfuckers was like, well, but that book said you ought to. No, I'm not gonna read it. It was peaceful. They were just mad.
It was peaceful.
Book diversions. There were some that I didn't like. But I think for most of the diversions from the book, I liked it because the books are so fucking long. Mm. Yeah. There's a lot of things that are great for reading, but they're just, you just kind of streamline that shit for television. Like, people don't want to watch all that shit. And a lot of it is like descriptive. Right. So the book is going to be longer because it has to lay out the scene for things that you're just going to literally see. So something that might take a whole page to describe literally takes you like 6 seconds to see because all these things are going on around it. So
It would be hilarious if people watch the whole season and shit and we get to the end and then he changes it in the book. That would be so good. You know, cause then it's like people kind of get surprised both ways, but he would be such a dick for that too. Cause that means he lied to HBO. It's going to be interesting. Because I do feel like one of the things I like about Game of Thrones as a TV show, as a person that doesn't read the books, it feels like such a rich world with so much history. Mm-hmm. Because they threw you just in the middle of it. And they didn't pick to tell you the story from the beginning. So you're kind of figuring out some of the ties that go all the way back. And it really makes it a fun rewatch. Mm-hmm. Cause like when I go back and watch like season one and shit, I'll be like, oh nigga. So they basically own Theon like a slave to stop this war. Like it adds so much more depth that I just couldn't have possibly gotten in episode one without reading those books. But now I hope they don't go to the well too often and kind of ruin the allure and mystique and the richness of this world by giving us every little painstaking detail. Cause 5 series, that's a lot. That's a lot of characters, a lot of people. And at some point, is it just about the money now? What's happening? Like, don't reduce the quality of this great show for some change, man. Cause that really would cheapen the whole experience.
You don't made your money, dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my feelings anyway.
I don't know how many of the prequels that I'll bother with, if any.
Yeah, I can see, because I know people are gonna be like, y'all gonna review, and I'm like, I mean, if they good, if these shits turn out to be trash, I'm about to be like, pretend it didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? Be like it'll be like the Star Wars prequels were for a while, where it was like, what prequels now? What happened? Till Anakin was revealed to be a fuckboy, then it was all worth it for me. Cause fuck Anakin. Alright. let's move into, you know what? Let's do some white people news, guys. That's right. Prepare your ears. Cause I know a lot of you guys, don't really like this segment. But, I gotta give you guys some white people news. Let's see how about this election? Oh, wait, I need to put it on the screen, Donna. Hold on. Y'all need to see what these white folks is up to, with the song. Listen, y'all need to be aware of what white folks is doing to our music. And I'm gonna be on the forefront of the battle to get our music back. But we have to expose y'all. We have to expose y'all to what's happening, okay? Now, some of these videos only got like 4,000 views. It's not too late to get them to stop. We can find them. I got a couple of these people to take their shit down. Like, I went back to look at the video, it was gone because people was like, thank you for spreading the awareness. I'm going to cuss this white person out. And it worked. Like, that one, you know the girl who's saying, don't touch my hair? Mm-hmm. She took hers down. Yeah, that white girl ain't had no business singing that song.
Come on.
Like, touching your hair, Becky. Anyway, this is DJ Chinette, and he's singing How Does It Feel by D'Angelo, the acoustic cover.
They love them goddamn acoustic guitar.
Thank you. Love is your way. If you want, you can decide. If you don't have me, I would provide you the thing that you desire. If you had that feeling I'm feeling, won't you come closer, ooh, to me, baby? You know that you've got me where you want me, baby, and I just wanna be a man. Well, how does it feel? How does it feel? How does it feel? How does it feel?
Woo! That was, that one got to him a little bit. That high note.
Little kid that done got on here. Ain't no bass in his voice. He not shirtless. He ain't.
Where is his mama? Cause I'm about to tell her he being nasty on the internet.
Right. His balls ain't came down yet. I know they come out them sockets. I learned that on What's the Tea. They need to come out them sockets.
Oh. Where is his mama?
I don't know, but he hit that. How does it feel? He got high on that joint. And he made the soulful face. Boy, I tell you, I already know. You know what's funny is every time that I laugh at these, I still get at least one person on Twitter that's like, you know, that one wasn't too bad. I'm like, they're all bad. Leave our shit alone.
How does it feel? It feels terrible. It feels like I shouldn't be doing this with you.
How does it sound?
It feels like you need to get away from me before they charge me with statutory rape. Get away from me.
Drive them out.
That's what happens when your mama black boyfriend lets you listen to his music.
Yeah. Right?
Yep.
I can guarantee you, what's that little boy's name? I guarantee you his mama got the haircut.
DJ Chanette. Yeah.
Yeah, nah.
Also, I feel like if you doing a cover of a D'Angelo song, I shouldn't be able to tell the words. You know, it's kind of like when they do covers of Rihanna at work, and I'll be like,
I love that.
I'll be like, I understand too many of these words. You didn't do it right. Cause when Rihanna does, I'm just like, summer, number, 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 word.
I love that song. Work, 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 work. Shimanana, work, 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 work. Shimanana, work, 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 work. That's my jam.
Right. The white people be doing it. You hear every word. It's like, work, 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 work.
It's really white explaining in music form.
It really is. It's like Rap Genius, but audio. Anyway, got to do That's Y'all's Man before we can get to, unfortunately, get to white people news and calm ourselves down. Donald Trump went overseas to Saudi Arabia to talk about Muslims and shit. Now, y'all know how he talks about them here. Well, he got over there and said, this is not a battle between different faiths, different sects, or different civilizations. This is a battle between barbaric criminals who seek to obliterate human life and decent people of all religions who seek to protect it. This is a battle between good and evil. Sounded kind of like a cuck, right? I mean, when he be over here, he just be like, they all bad. Muslims are bad. Don't come in our country. They bad people. Over there, apparently he has a... change his tune a little bit. I don't know,
because all them brown people looking at you like, motherfucker, say something. You might not make it out.
He called Islam one of the world's great faiths.
Really? So it's great there, but not great here in the States.
He dismissed Islamists as the foot soldiers of evil with no religious legitimacy, effectively putting distance between Islam and the ideology that fuels terrorist groups like ISIS. Now, here's what's odd about that. They were on Obama's ass for 8 years because he wouldn't use the term Islamic terrorism or associate Islam with terror. Now they over there in their face ready to tell them like it is, and all of a sudden they're making the distinction that, oh, people that do this terrorism in the name of Islam, they're not really, that's not a representation of the religion.
Huh. It's like the meme with that little girl on that video, but when I'm in your face, you don't ever want to run up.
Right, right. It's like these niggas are such keyboard gangsters, man. They are such fucking...
Because when you're here in the States and you don't got to deal with them because you're not surrounded by them, they're not in your purview, you can talk all that shit. But you in that country, dog.
He's such a fucking Twitter thug, dog. Soon as he got over there, he's saying the same shit that every president has to say. Because you can't talk like that over there. We do need these...
It's not a war.
Well, and we do need to have allies across the world. We can't just be like America against everybody, dog. And you know what's funny? The worst part? You won't even catch the same people that was on Obama's ass. You won't even catch them a whiff of criticism towards Trump for capitulating or softening his tone. They're just gonna call that shit presidential. Watch.
Right.
He looked presidential.
Mm-hmm. You know, because he's really, you're president to the world, guys, and you can't go over there and make enemies, okay? You know, he wasn't soft. He wasn't soft on them. He told them. You're like, no, nigga, when Obama said anything similar to this, he was soft, and basically Iran was gonna turn around and fuck us in the ass, and there was nothing we could do about it. And it's all because we got a little wimpy ass president. And now this nigga goes over there and it's completely does a 180 on his stance, and everybody's gonna be like, what a president. What a great guy. Let's get into the good white people news, okay, guys? Not what white people voted for and fucked up this whole country. Let's see here. I'll tell you some big news. Pippa Middleton done got married, y'all, and it was a bridezilla wedding, okay?
Oh shit, what happened?
Oh, it was on, okay? 700,000 pounds, guys, and I'm talking about the money, not the weight. Pippa's 700,000 pound nuptials included two dresses for the big day and a 200,000 pound diamond engagement ring and 40,000 pounds worth of Russian caviar.
Doing it up nice.
Look, when you balling, you know what I'm saying? When you balling on these hoes, you gotta let them know the queen is back, okay? We about to be running. This wedding gonna cost you all day. You gonna have to get out of school early.
All day, nigga.
And get banned from your prom to come to my wedding.
You know what I love? You know what I love about this? Nobody knows or cares what her husband's name is. Like, who cares?
Because right. It don't matter. Because she ain't gonna pick it up. Mm-mm.
This nigga not even in the picture. The first picture of the wedding, he not even in it, y'all.
Oh, look, and we see
it. I know Meghan Markle was there, and I don't even know who he is, who her husband is.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the picture right now, and it's her and some woman standing next to each other. She's holding hands with her husband in this picture. They just cropped them out. They're like, don't nobody give a fuck.
They showed him out the picture.
Don't nobody give a fuck. Who?
They photo cropped them out.
This is like the second most shadiest thing that the Daily Mail does. Cause the number one shadiest thing is whenever a famous person goes out with somebody that's not famous and they call you the mystery man in their life.
Cause they ain't wasting their time to find out who
they won't even Google you. they not even gonna ask. They just be like, Karen goes out with mystery man to get ice cream.
Nah,
like,
that's how it will be. The Dairy Queen.
Right. Putting on the society wedding of the year doesn't come cheap. The Pippa nuptials, estimated to have cost 700,000 pounds. That figure includes the bride's 200,000 pound engagement ring, a dazzling 3.5 carat astra cut diamond set in a halo of smaller stones on a platinum band. British designer Giles Deacon was paid 40,000 pounds to produce two dresses for Pippa's big day, which she paired with a custom made 2,000 pound heels by Manolo Blahnik. Of course, Manolo Blahnik. there's a picture of the back of her man's head. The shade is so real.
Is he 100?
I don't know. He old. Listen, that's our grandpa.
He got to be a billionaire to afford this. Guests sipped 75 pound a bottle of sparkling wine from Sussex Vineyard, Nye Timber, and tucked into a 40,000 pound worth of Russian caviar with the church ceremony was a modest 500 pounds. The stunning 150 foot long glass marquee specially shipped in from Belgium cost a further 100,000 pounds. The three-course wedding breakfast for 320 guests at up to 200 pound a head was laid on by a crew of 30 chefs, followed by a performance by one of the groom's favorite jazz bands. The stunning six-tier cake by Fiona Cairns, who made the cake for the royal wedding, is thought to have cost about 15,000 pounds, while the groom's party wore 900 pound a pair handmade shoes from Edward Green. The couple's parents must at least have been relieved that the Spitfire fly pass by the Boltby Flight Academy was done for free. So they had somebody fly over their wedding like we fly over like the Super Bowl with jets. What? Jesus Christ.
I happen to think that, I mean, I saw a picture of her husband. He's really ordinary looking, but to be fair, I think she's pretty ordinary looking too. I think both of those girls are.
Mm-hmm. But they rich. Like, if you
didn't tell me who they were.
They don't stand out.
Yeah.
They look like literally everybody at the Whole Foods.
Like, if we saw them at Starbucks and they said, point out the famous white woman, I'd be like, oh, man.
I'm gonna lose this round. Can you give me a clue?
All right, give me a hint. One of them's Pippa Middleton.
That ain't gonna help me out.
Oh, man. Mm-mm. So she brunette. So one of the brunettes. Rats will crawl.
It wouldn't even help if you said, hey, Pippa, because then, you know, everybody in Starbucks is nosy. Like, mm-hmm. I've never seen a nosier group of people than white women in Starbucks, like, yes, ever.
That's true.
Maybe black women when they're trying to figure out your sexuality. That's it. White women in Starbucks, black women when they're trying to find out that you're gay. The two single most nosy groups in all of creation.
Rats will crawl around you as you eat at this new creepy cafe, guys.
Plastic rats.
Nope. Real, actual, live ass rodents.
Mm-mm. Get Ratatouille the fuck out of here.
Have you ever been enjoying a coffee, tea, or nice breakfast pastry and thought to yourself, a rat crawling on the table will make a much better experience? Well, you're in luck if you are in San Francisco, that is. The San Francisco Dungeon is a 60-minute live-action journey through 200 years worth of the Bay's most riveting and sinister history. Now, for a limited time this summer, it is offering guests a new creepy experience. For just $50, that's right, you gotta pay.
$50 to watch some rats crawl around you? They're gonna fuck around and bite somebody. Y'all didn't clean. What's happening here?
Like, I can't just go to a Taco Bell in New York and have the same experience. Just saying.
Ride the subway in New York and one just get on with me. I mean, they everywhere.
Just leave pizza on the ground in New York and watch it. Watch magic ensue. For just $50, people can sip their coffee while seated at a bistro style table, nicely draped with red and white gingham tablecloths, all while being surrounded by live rats. You will get coffee, tea, or water and a breakfast pastry.
Yeah, the rats gonna eat it with you.
Are those raisins in my breakfast pastry or?
Mm.
Right. This ain't violating nobody health code.
Right. That's my question.
Like, how lenient are y'all with this? After dining with the rat rodents crawling on you, you get to interact with the rats for 15 minutes. Oh, we get to do. Oh, thank God. The rats will be provided by Ratty Rats, a local nonprofit dedicated to rat adoption and welfare. The dungeon didn't immediately return a request for comment from BuzzFeed News, but the Clarkson told Eater that the food wouldn't be made where the rats are dwelling, but then I'll be eating it there. We're obviously following all food code and health and hygiene requirements. Reviews of the new experience online are mixed. So that means people have done this. Rats, anyone, so cute. Shame, it's only for 2 days. San Francisco's newest tourist trap, Rat Cafe. Legalized pet rat says, how amazing would that be? Hashtag pet rats, hashtag rat cafe. So you create a whole ass Twitter account. I gotta see how many followers you got, bruh. Mm-mm.
And they all white.
Yeah, come on. You know he ain't had nothing else to do. 686 followers. 686 people saw.
Who are these people?
Legalized pet rats. I need to sign up for this shit. Holy shit. We're not vermin. I'm lovable. Rats are holding signs at the top of their header. And you know that the motherfucking rats are not sentient. How did they write that?
All rat lives matter.
Oh my God. Look at that white person. They are also followed by other rats. Luda rat, cute rats, Vicodin rat. You know who need to follow this account? Snake accounts.
Duh! The account I just say.
Right.
Definitely meet like a snake with like a rat mask on. I'm like, hey, let's be friends.
Yo, the snake account should just retweet all the rat accounts with the snake emoji. Just
yes!
Right.
Yes. Y'all his snake friends.
Right.
Yeah. Predator, am I right?
Yeah.
Too far? Okay.
No, I agree with that one. yes. So yeah, man, the rats are gonna be eating there. I mm-mm. feel like that's white people news mm-mm. right there. But shout out, I do know a black girl that loves some rats. She got two rat pets. My girl Cheyenne. So shout out to her because she love her rats and she got rat pets. But I wouldn't eat down her house if the rats got to be hanging out with my food. Though I'm not gonna lie. Guys, Huma Abedin is divorcing Anthony Weiner.
Bitch, finally.
That's what
my God.
I gotta say, guys, what's up with these kids these days? What, we don't believe in love no more? I mean, you just gonna call it quits. So easy. It's like a man get caught cheating on you and sexting and sending his dick pics with your son laying there and finally gets caught sending it to an underage woman and now you just gonna give up on love? What happened to death do us part? Come on.
You don't believe nothing.
In sickness and health, even if that sickness is his perverted ability to send his dick pics to strangers on the internet? I mean, come on.
Mama stayed with grandpa after he got caught sending his dick to underage. Like,
some of y'all wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for a woman tolerating an ain't shit man. Now look at you. Ungrateful. I just can't believe she would do this to Anthony. Poor Anthony Weiner. The real victim.
Finally.
Right. Finally. We wouldn't have no problem if Weiner kept his Weiner to himself. That's the problem.
I just wonder what she did in her life that she believes she deserved this. That's the only explanation I have.
I feel like I feel the most for in these situations. It's not her, it's not her kid, and it's not Anthony Weiner. It's all her friends that's been telling her he ain't shit
for a long time,
and she done cut them off.
You know she did.
And she done cussed them out to their face. You know, because she done said she was leaving them before. So you know they have had that awkward moment where you like, good girl, because he ain't shit. You can do better. I never liked this ass anyway. He was looking at me funny at your wedding. That's why I ain't want to tell you. And then like a week later, she's like, actually, we're going to work it out. You're like, fuck. Like,
now we can't be friends no more.
Right. Now we can't be friends. And the thing is, people fuck up, and you know, I've seen marriages repaired on a lot of different things, don't get me wrong, but what you ain't gonna do is have me behind you looking like a fool at a press conference, because I'm not bringing my black ass up there. That right there is grounds for divorce.
Someone on my Facebook said every picture of him looked like he just apologized for sending somebody a dick pic.
You know,
and
what
I
can't unsee
he always
it.
Looks like this.
And y'all know what, on the low, who knows how many times he has apologized and we just don't know it.
No, I'm just saying, every time, I'm talking candid pictures, like just Anthony Weiner takes his son to the park, his face be looking like, I'm bad, y'all.
I did it again.
Yeah, what am I gonna do? Yeah, I just picture that phone call to her friends where it's like, hey girl, I told him it's over, and I mean it for real this time. It's like, oh, hold on, okay. I've been telling you he ain't shit, girl. I done told you for years. He was looking at my daughter funny. One time you went to the bathroom and this nigga pulled out his dick. We going out tonight, girl. Get your freaking dress on. Let's go. Even Hillary was like, damn, you finally left that nigga. I mean, I stuck with mine, and even I was like, god damn.
The only thing that's gonna be terrible is that she's about to date a whole bunch of bad decision niggas.
Oh yeah,
she's about to date Orlando's, yeah, and Lorenzo's, mm, and all other kind of O's that just ain't shit in life.
Not the O's.
She gonna be like Melly fucking that dude from Pope and Associates. That's what I think she need to do next. She need to fuck Marcus. She just need a Marcus in her life, or as I like to call him, new Harrison. She just need a new Harrison in her life.
I feel like we can get with Jesse Williams because they both need to rebrand.
They do need to rebrand, yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, don't settle.
It's sort of like when Eddie Murphy's ex-wife and what's his face got together. Strahan.
Yeah.
They could be the new Strahan and Murphy, or whatever her last name.
Get your back blown out once or twice, Emma. You deserve it, man. You put up with a lot. So,
duh!
Ain't nobody gonna judge you. Look at this nigga face, man. Every picture of him look the same. Yeah, just sent my dick to... Just got caught sending my dick out. Oh, man, what a day, right? Tuesday, am I right, guys? Jesus. You know what? I might as well keep that sound going. I'm not even going to read the article, but I don't know if we talked about this yet. Roger Ailes died. So, hell got a new demon tonight.
When I heard that, all I could hear in the background was The Price is Right. Womp, 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 womp.
Every time somebody's called a nigga, a devil gets his horns. And
oh Lord.
In this case, it's Roger Ailes going down to that escalator in the earth, straight to
what
hell.
A piece of shit.
Right? Couldn't have died soon enough, honestly. If this would have happened 10 years ago, it would have been too late. Glad
like, enough that I was like, just?
Mm-hmm. Evil live forever. Dick Cheney somewhere like, so it can happen. You know what I mean?
Oh, Lord.
Right. Like, Satan showed up to Dick Cheney like, you next, buddy. See you in a little bit. But yeah, as soon as I heard the news, y'all know what it was. White man.
Celebrate good times. Come on.
Maybe you could sexually harass some demons.
There's a party going on right here. A celebration to last throughout the year.
Now get Murdoch. Is that dude still alive? He need to go next.
Yeah. It just didn't seem right that Prince was gone and Roger Ailes still alive.
Right?
Or was
20? Hey, you know like what? 2016 taketh away, but 2017 giveth back.
Oh boy.
Boy, if we just got a slate of just evil white men dying for 2017, I'd be okay with 2016. I might take, you know, I would throw away my 2016 is trash shirt. I would throw it away.
Die.
If enough old white men die, I might just fuck around and throw that shit in the trash.
I need the Grim Reaper to start cutting like WWE promos. Like, Bill O'Reilly, we coming for you, nigga.
Oh, that's gonna be hilarious.
Oh man. All right. Let's is there anything? Oh, here's some extreme white people news, okay? The most pain I've ever experienced. Lena Dunham cancels her Lenny IRL tour as she reveals endometriosis has returned. So she's sick, y'all. She promised to bring laughter, poetry, passion, and community in the midst of these divided and painful times. But on Saturday, Lena Dunham announced she's had to cancel her upcoming Lenny IRL tour due to a health scare.
What is that?
Endometriosis? Mm-hmm. I guess I have to look it up.
It's something to do with your, I can't remember all of it. Like, it affects your fertility. It's something to do, if I'm not mistaken, with your uterine lining. Mm. Which it gives you problems with menstruation, and it's painful and all that. And
yeah, it's an often painful disorder in which tissue that normally lines the inside of your uterus, the endometrium, grows inside your uterus. Endometriosis most commonly involves your ovaries, fallopian tubes, and the tissue lining your pelvis. So lower abdominal pain that she's going through, guys. Okay,
it's serious. The people who I've known people who have had it, and it's really painful, and sometimes they can't have kids, or it, you know, makes pregnancy really difficult and all that jazz.
So I think I speak for all of us when we say we just want Lena Dunham to feel better and to get well soon. And,
yeah.
So she can
never get in front of a mic or camera again.
Right. We need her to get better so she can get back to pissing us off, guys. Okay. I feel sorry for her. Sorry. She can't do her tour.
Painful. I don't wish suffering on anyone, and however you feel about somebody and their politics or whatever, mm-hmm. or they're being stupid. Like, she says a lot of silly shit.
Right.
But that's some painful shit.
Exactly. Exactly. But I do wonder what happens to the rest of the tour, like, cause I know she had other people coming with her. So I wonder what's up with those ladies and whatnot. But yep, hope she feels better, man. So there you go. I know she said she's losing weight and shit because she's stressed out about the Trump administration and all this stuff. So at any rate, get well soon, Lena Dunham. I mean that sincerely. Forget 10 days by a pool. Meet the couple who have been honeymooning for months on a road trip through South America in a 4x4, and they have no idea when the trip will end.
Must be nice.
Must be white.
100%.
Yeah.
Loved up couple have been driving their 4x4 through South America for their honeymoon for months and without a plan, and they have no idea where the trip will end.
And without a plan.
Without a plan. Confident Dimitri O, yes, that is his real surname, 31, proposed to his now wife Sarah by showing her an online blog he had created to document their future honeymoon, which they embarked on last November. And then just a bunch of pictures of them. Not content with 10 days by a pool, adventurous newlyweds Dimitri and Sarah, 29, have spent the past 6 months traveling through glacier lakes and rainforests in their wedding car, a Toyota Land Cruiser. This is a great Toyota commercial, by the way. They gonna probably get paid off of that.
They're living in their car.
Yeah, I guess they're driving in their car. I don't know what they might be sleeping in it. Sarah Vlemenchek. She looks like Mixoplex. I don't even know how you pronounce that. Where are the vowels? Anyway, our wedding was the first time we got to ride our Land Cruiser together, as it was our ceremony vehicle, which we also used for our photo shoot. We had talked about our plans for future and not making a mistake to postpone dreams. Sarah and Dimitri from Antwerp, Belgium, set off to explore the extreme and breathtaking landscape of South America 4 months after they tied the knot in August. Sarah sacked in her job as a talent manager at a renewable energy supplier for the honeymoon, while engineer Dimitri has been able to work on the go as a self-titled digital nomad. Only white people get to be like that. What do you do for a living? Digital nomad.
Called homelessness.
Just made it up 3 minutes ago. I'm a digital nomad.
I have white people are incredible. Like, I just like white, and it's always like if they were just slightly ugly, it's like this homeless motherfucker is dragging this girl all through the jungle. Like, that now changes completely. That's a damn shame that ugly nigga dragged that lady through the jungle.
If they
that's what happens when you're ugly, but when you're moderately attractive and white, homelessness is not homelessness, and that is fascinating.
If it was black, it'd be like, man kidnaps wife, takes her to South America.
But she was all of her deceived. Like, you don't get to just like drag somebody out and be homeless when you ugly.
I love these pictures.
Privilege is a thing for real.
I absolutely love these pictures. I don't even know why they got ski things in this one. There's no snow anywhere
around them.
They just got skis.
The pictures are beautiful. Like, it's a ain't beautiful that gorgeous? Experience.
Right. But it's look cool. How much fun they're having. That picture right there looks like a 800 credit score. Look at that picture. Ah! Oh, man.
Oh, somebody in chat said they walking pose.
Walking pose. Okay, I didn't see. I ain't never been nowhere, y'all.
Oh, to hike the mountains. See, I don't go hiking, so I don't know.
Dimitri said, we both love road trips and started to fantasize about the Pan-American overland trip. We worked until the last minute before the wedding to get the brakes fixed just in time. Wow, the brakes weren't even fixed on the car when they got married, and that was all they needed.
Just imagine an ugly man doing this. Imagine an ugly man telling you, girl, the brakes don't work. Well, let's drive to South America.
If we save up right now, we can get them brakes fixed, girl. It was Sarah's first time behind the wheel as she drove it to the ceremony, which was a big day for all of us. Somewhere in the summer 2015, we decided we wanted to do a trip and gave ourselves roughly a year to prepare. And by preparing, we mean only the car. We didn't plan the things we to see and do in advance. We flew into Buenos Aires November 8th, 2016. So that's about 6 months now, and we don't know when we'll end the trip. So how did the car get there? They flew that in too?
Probably had to.
Wow. We'll go to Belgium when we run out of money and when we feel like it. Freedom is part of our experience. We were also thinking about getting kids and buy our own place, but we also felt we had to do this big trip now before having these attachments. It was only November 2015 that Dimitri thought the trip of a lifetime would be fun to do with his wife as a honeymoon rather than his girlfriend. He created the website and logo for a global honeymoon and proposed to Sarah using the blog he had set up based on his life story to date. Sarah said, generally, we live day by day. Our original plan was to go to Ushuaia, Argentina, to Montreal, Canada. But after roughly 1.5 months on the road and having reached Puerto Natales in Chile, we changed the plan. Many have proven before us that you can ride the Pan-American Highway from south to north in roughly 6 months, but that would mean doing a lot of kilometers every day, and that was not the goal of our trip. Wow.
If you're going to do that, you should definitely do that before you have a mortgage and kids and all that jazz. It's still homelessness, though.
Yeah, well, you know.
And it's definitely a white privilege, because I guarantee you ain't no brown people could come to the United States with no house, no attachments, no nothing, be like, we just want to drive through this bitch.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, also, not ever.
This also would be a fire-ass Discovery ID episode if he kills her and gets the insurance money. Just saying. Like, that shit would be amazing, because he done got married. They probably got insurance together. Take on this trip where you can get rid of and should never be found.
Y'all have a lot of time alone together, because I guarantee you most of this trip y'all are isolated.
Claim some brown people kidnapped her. You don't know what the fuck happened. You just woke up in the middle of your Toyota and called the police. And yeah, man, I mean, be careful, girl. Watch your back. I've this is how it starts. I'm just saying.
Bro, he drove you down there. He got you down there with bad brakes.
Right. Right. Oh, I like, told her to drive.
That would be my red flag. Ain't no brakes.
Baby, can you drive down the hill so you can get a better picture of me on top of the mountain? Okay. just let me drive down to the edge of this cliff and stop. Oh, shit. Oh, man. Can't wait for Matt Damon to play him in the movie.
Don't trust him, girl.
At any rate, good for you guys. Let's get into some Guess the Race, guys. Can't end the show without some racism here. And you know that's what we provide at the Blackout Tips. I gotta stop sharing my screen because y'all can't see the sism and inform your guesses. All right, where's my Guess the Race music? It's at the top of the list, and here
your
we go.
Screen is still up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's still up.
Yeah.
Damn, I definitely took it off. Hold on.
And we still see. I thought it was gonna go down, but it's like, here I am.
All right. I must have to refresh then, because it won't go off. And it looks blank to me, but I guess you guys can see it. All right. Refreshing. Give me a second, guys. All right. Oh, I guess I can still play the song when I get back on. I don't know, man. It's like Crowdcast has not liked me all day today. I swear it's because I updated my computer, man.
Yeah,
one of them big updates too.
Yeah, wait,
I can't hear you, Karen.
Oh yeah, she can't hear you, but okay. That's because
I can't hear you. Whenever Rod goes off, you get muted. He's silencing you.
The audio is through me.
He's silencing me.
I love women, okay? Like my wife is a woman, okay? I love women, all right? My wife is a woman. I don't sell podcasts to nobody but men. But if you want to get some women podcasts, go to a women podcast company, okay? $500 an episode. Support us. All right, here we go.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Mel from the CSPN Podcast Network and Karen, to guess the race, and the chat room plays along, and y'all are all racist. Let's see what's going on. A police officer is charged with stealing package of hamburger he stuffed down his pants. A St. John police sergeant has resigned after allegedly stuffing a $30 package of hamburger down his pants and walking out the store without paying for it on April 21st. The Des Perez Police Department issued a summons for shoplifting to Matthew Bartholomew, 36, of Kirkwood. His attorney, Travis Noble, said Bartholomew recently resigned from the police force. He said his client planned to enter a plea of not guilty. If you're not guilty, why you resign? He's devastated, Noble said. He was a police sergeant and a highly decorated police officer and had been in law enforcement for 15 years. He saved someone from a burning home. He was highly regarded. Noble said Bartholomew's career is on the line and he wants to clear his name. He's accused of stealing hamburger from Deerberg's Market. According to police documents, he was observed at 2:15 p.m. concealing a package of hamburger in the front of his pants. He was wearing a large Cardinals pullover. A store security officer said she watched him pay for items in the shopping cart, but he did not pay for the meat. Officer said once he exited the store, she approached him and escorted him to the loss of prevention office. While in the office, I asked the subject to remove the meat from inside of his pants, and he pulled his dick out. Nice, right? Oh, you want to see the meat, girl? Hold on. That's all you had to say. Close the door. Close the door, y'all.
I've been sitting on that sofa since you started.
He was like Arby's. He has the meat. He explained to me he was a police officer. And the statement said that he was informed of the store's policy to call police for theft of items over $30. Oh, he stole a lot of hamburger. That's a lot of, how did you get all that in your pants, bro? $30? You must have stole that tube. You know that big ass tube they got?
The long ones.
He was like, girl, this is my print. Yeah, I guess it was hanging out my romper. You seen that? Seen something you like down there? But they called the police. The security guard conferred with the manager of the store, who then made the call. While in the office, the subject started saying that he begs me not to do anything because he'll lose his job and that is his life. She advised him that the store was going to prosecute because of the amount of the theft. St. John officials confirmed that Bartholomew is no longer employed by the police department, and his court date is set June 5th at 6:30 p.m. Guess the race of Matt Bartholomew, Karen.
White. He had to steal meat to beat his meat.
All right. What about you, Mel?
He is a white because he was shocked at getting arrested. He pulled the, but I'm a police officer. And he was worried about losing his job. That's white.
All right. Let's see what they say in the chat room. He got the meats, should have went to Arby's. White. That's some hamburger helper. I don't want any part of white. Oh man. He considers himself a hamburger helper, white. Joe, you was 1 second too late. He wasn't going to season the burgers, white.
He ain't still no Tony Satchery.
Knows the rule on how to steal hamburger, white. Hamburglar, oh, that's good. I got plenty meat in these pants, girl. White, black, white, blue lives ain't packing. White, hamburger, guitar, wait, hamburglar, white, NYPD, moo, white, NYPD, moo. He was gonna beat that meat like the minority suspect. White, Jesus, white as pink as he likes his hamburger, white as Anthony Weiner's wiener. He had enough room in his pants for the meat, white. Oh, the slander. The slander, Miss KCP. Black Rod says, would have gotten away with it if he had shot a black person in the process.
Oh,
it hurts because it's true. The correct answer is,
I can't even laugh at it. I'm just like, oh, he would.
Right? That's what he, did you see?
Like, I read that and I dead ass started thinking, how many of these motherfuckers start looting right after they go and shoot somebody black?
Where did he go? Who? The black person that did this? all right. The correct answer is white. You guys got it right for the most part. A couple of you did miss it. I saw a couple blacks in there.
Black men start every day thinking, I might get fired today. Like, just for doing regular shit.
Like, a black person, listen, a black person might steal some meat. And a black person might be a police officer. But ain't no black police officer stealing no meat. You can't be both of those at the same time, guys. I'm sorry. Okay? Well, if you would have said a black police officer pulled his meat out at the store, I would have had more belief in that. Sorry. Anyway, that's him. He does look a little brownish or something. I got something in him, but he white. All right, let's go to the next one. All right, so far everybody's one for one. Is it still showing my screen?
I'm good. No way.
Okay. A woman, 44 years old, is accused of faking brain cancer to friends to collect $40,000 in donations before jetting off to the U.S. as surgeons claim she never received treatment. A 44-year-old woman has been accused of faking a brain tumor to collect $40,000 in donations from friends and family before traveling overseas to spend her cash. Debbie Coughlin from Mer Willembaum NSW told her friend she was diagnosed with pineal brain tumor and desperately needed medical funds. She claimed the only doctor who could operate on her tumor was in a clinic in the United States and asked for money to fly there. The town rallied together and they managed to raise $40,000 in generous donations. One man, Mark Lawrence, even donated $700 of his own cash to a woman he thought was dying. A fundraiser with dozens of attendees was even held in her name to help raise the funds. But her friends now claim she lied about having the disease. It just baffled me that someone would do that. And to their so-called friends, one man said, it demeans what cancer patients are going through. It just makes a joke of it, another female friend said. Ms. Coughlin told police she was headed to Skull Base Institute in Los Angeles to receive life-saving surgery, but her friends claimed there was little proof she ever went there. Skull Base sounds like where Skeletor fights He-Man. Cancer survivor Karen Court asked Miss Coughlin to provide documents to prove she was headed to LA for surgery, but she said she refused to cough them up. Miss Coughlin then traveled to America in October 2016 for her alleged surgery, but photos surfaced on social media of her sightseeing and even attending a wedding that she was supposed to be recovering. That means
she kind of sound like a Twitter scammer. That was tough.
Right. It's, you know what that means. Y'all paid for somebody's wedding gift. Y'all did that. A current affair contacted Skull-Based Institute in LA, but surgeons there claimed they never heard of Miss Coughlin. She also claimed to have received chemotherapy at another hospital that said she never stepped a foot in the door. Guess the race of this woman.
Oh, I just feel like, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh no, but I'm gonna go white.
Okay.
I'm still gonna go with white because I feel like Australia is just a little too racist for that many people to be handing off that much cash to a black woman. So
okay,
or anybody other than white. So yeah, white.
Yeah, they're not gonna trust us with that much money.
Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. She needed the money for Toyota South American honeymoon. White. Didn't ask for thoughts and prayers from Facebook. White. There should be a special place in hell for folks who fake cancer. White. $40K for medical bills without proof. Becky with the lack of funds. Yeah. Aww. Yeah. Leslie and Marissa couldn't even get money for helping black women without having to disclose some money. Like, they was like, how I know this money gonna go to help some black women? It's like, because we black women. I don't know. I need to see about this. Meanwhile, they giving somebody $40,000 for motherfucking a cancer when she went on vacation. Let's see. White, no checks, just cash, please, white. Faking the illness and able to get out of the country with the money, white. Only hear about white women pulling this shit. White, because if she was black, her friends would have just thrown a cookout and been like, we gonna miss you, girl. Come on, man. Y'all would have played shoot. Oh, man. White people been stealing since 100 BC. It's what they do best. White tears go up instead of down. The correct answer is, and y'all all guessed the same thing, and you're all correct. She was a white woman. By the way, do you know how fucking invested you have to be to know that to be on her Facebook page and to see that first fucking picture of hers, that's her balling in America?
Like, being sick, maybe it's just me, being sick is something you don't play with, because there's a lot of people that are actually sick out here and actually are, you know, are suffering and shit like that. And you know, it's one of these things where the next person who actually might be sick might not get the money because you fucking scammed them.
Yeah, I just want to see the face of the first person that saw her taking pictures at a wedding. Like,
you know, they were flaming mad.
Ain't she supposed to be recovering from the cancer? It looked like she on Facebook doing the electric slide. I don't know. Is this the chicken dance? What is this? What part of recovery is this? Let's see. Here's another one. How about this? A woman who dressed as a dinosaur to spook horses turns herself in.
What?
You heard me. Charleston, South Carolina. A woman who police say wore a dinosaur costume and spooked carriage horses in South Carolina has turned herself in. Charleston police spokesman Charles Francis said in a statement that 26-year-old Nicole Wells is charged with disorderly conduct and wearing a mask or disguise. Francis says Wells was dressed in an orange Tyrannosaurus Rex costume and walked towards the horses pulling the carriage. She started growling Thursday, even though the driver shouted several times for her to leave. When the horses became spooked, the driver was thrown from the carriage, which ran over his leg. The horses and the passengers in the carriage were not injured. Palmetto Carriage Works owner Tom Doyle suggests the event was a stunt by protesting animal rights activists. How would scaring the horse not also be hurting the animal's well-being? That makes no sense.
Right?
I tried to scare them that they was gonna get ate by a dinosaur to free them. The police statement did not give a motive. Wells didn't have a phone listing that wasn't known that she has a lawyer. Guess the race.
White.
Karen's going white. Okay. Mel, you going white too? All right, let's see what the chat room thinks then. Okay. It's like everybody seems to be going white on this one.
I mean, dinosaur.
A spook.
Even the horses, there's a part of me that's like, white women and horses, but white.
A spook, but this time they aren't black, white. Nothing but time and horse peeing on her hands, white. Peter crazy, animal lives matter, white. Her privilege stat is maxed out at 999. Was so drunk she thought she had on her clan robes, white. White prank gone wrong, white, definitely white nonsense, white. Member of PETA think all lives matter, white. White devil dinosaur. Ha! That's great. That's so good. Brilliant villain. White devil dinosaur. So good.
Oh my.
Yeah. We had, that's what we need, comic book. Coon girl and white devil dinosaur.
Oh.
Be about Stacy Dash and I don't know who's the white devil now that Ailes is dead.
I don't know.
Murdoch.
Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly and Stacy Dash just do a show together called Coon Girl and White Devil Dinosaur. Thought she could run from the T-Rex and heels, white, but why dinosaur outfit though, white? White like the engineers from her Jurassic Park enclosure, white. Tommy Lauren, the correct, I like how you spell Tommy Lauren correct, Joe Spacely. And then Jay went below and said Tony Lauren, because we don't say her name correctly. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Y'all are crazy. That girl's name is Tammy.
You're right. Come on now. Anyway, I don't even have a picture, but we all know it's white. So just everybody congratulate yourself. Oh, yeah. Like, I spent some time this morning looking for her picture, then I was like, why? We know she white.
Come on, we know it.
Ain't no black people acting like that. She really was a dead ass in this dinosaur costume fucking with these horses though, man. It's so funny. It's like some Eric Andre skit type shit, man. But somebody really got hurt. Because I guarantee she think this is okay. Like, yeah, he got hurt, but look what they do to the horses every day. And who's speaking for the horses? Oh man. All right, let's go to the bonus round and we'll get out of here, guys. Here we go. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, everybody's 3 for 3, I believe. So only one person said black. So we will see how they finish in the bonus round. All right. Let's see. How about, what's the best one? Oh, here's one. Pennsylvania woman says God told her to throw bricks at white men.
They said my case was sealed. What?
Now they did say I am an atheist, but this is one way to get me to believe. I'm just saying, I'll go to your church. To the woman in the Western Pennsylvania arrested for allegedly throwing bricks at a man's car, it was a prophecy from God commanding her to throw bricks at white men. To police in Pennsylvania, it was simply a crime. According to KDKA-TV, suspect Jasmine Fox, 31, is accused of throwing bricks at a man's car Monday morning. The motorist told police he caught Fox throwing bricks at his car and chased her into an abandoned Roman Catholic school. Sure enough, police found Fox, who was homeless, hiding in the school's locker room. Upon her arrest, Fox allegedly told cops she was carrying out a prophecy from God, urging her to attack white men with bricks. The male motorist, who was an apparent target of her alleged biblical wrath, was not identified in the story. There's no immediate injury information if he had injuries or anything. Meanwhile, Fox faces charges of propulsion of missiles. What?
Yeah.
Propulsion of missiles? What? That has to be... What the fuck does that even mean, dog? Is that like the same thing we would... If you shot like a bazooka, we'd be like, oh, propulsion of missiles, nigga. That's 16.
Deadass. Pennsylvania is like North Texas. It's like Florida and Texas had a baby. So,
yeah, apparently the statute is 2707, and it's whoever intentionally throws, shoots, or propels a rock, stone, brick, or piece of iron, steel, or like metal or any deadly or dangerous missile or firebomb into a vehicle or instrumentality of public transportation that is occupied by one or more person commits the misdemeanor of propulsion of missiles. Holy shit. Criminal mischief and defiant trespass. Karen, guess the race of Jasmine Fox.
I have to excuse myself because this is the story that was covered yesterday with Chris.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Well, what about you?
This is really hard, and I actually do not know the answer to this because I don't watch Pittsburgh news enough. I want to say I still want to say white.
Okay, going with white. Let's check the chat room. The 92 bricks Jay lost when he went to good. The 92 bricks Jay Z lost went to good use. I guess that's black. Listen to one too many bad advice shows, black. Yeah, Saron would tell you to do something like this. Let she who is with melanin cast the first stone at the oppressor black. The Lord told the police to lock your black ass up. She's a brick house black. I mean, she's a brick house black. Brick replacer nomad white. She isn't a chalk outline white. I'll say black. The crime seems very white. I'ma say black based on the charge. Arrested and not killed white. In Pittsburgh, white girls can be called Jasmine. That's interesting. Yeah. White.
Yeah.
Where did he go? Wait, where's GoFundMe? Yeah, we need to get her out, y'all. Like, we need to set something up. And black Terminator, the correct answer is Mel went white. Most of y'all went black. And Mel, you're correct. She was white.
Yeah, it's Pittsburgh.
What is it about Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh is really white. And most of the homeless people are really white. And they are very tired white men here.
I hear very you. Tired. Listen, I normally don't do this, but I'd understand if the local Black Lives Matter chapter wanted to bail her out for that Mother's Day promotion they was doing. Yeah.
and the other thing, like, there's been an influx. I don't know, I know Lauren in the chat, she lives here, but I don't know if you've been paying attention downtown. There has been, I don't know if a bus dumped off here or what, but there have been a lot of new homeless people downtown. And they've all been white.
Okay. And so, of course, some people did say black, so gotta get booed. I'm trying to get a picture in the chat. My screen share is acting stupid real quick. Give me a second, guys, to see if I can I'm gonna try to refresh and come right back. So I gotta,
I kinda wanna see her because I wanna see if she's one of the people I've spoken to recently.
Okay, let me refresh. I'm gonna silence Karen and let Mel go on her own real quick. There's enough out of you, Karen. Okay.
You don't control me.
You and Mel been talking a little too much.
You don't control nothing over here.
I know you out in these streets with your other man, cause Mel said that's how you know what restaurants to go to now.
Why? Because you've been seeing my pictures on TMZ, and I'll be naming my male companion.
Mystery Man.
Mystery Man number 3.
Man, it's showing me on screen, but then it's showing me blank. Is it?
You're not moving. Okay, there you go.
Okay.
You
went away. Wait, I was on screen? God
but,
damn it.
But you weren't moving. You had froze.
Okay, all right. Try to refresh one more time. Life is so hard as a black man. Duh! This is what LeVar Ball was right. It's just like Emmett Till. Y'all trying to kill the black man.
Pittsburgh is next up. I live really close to downtown, and right now what I pay in rent, I would probably be paying triple that anywhere else. What I pay to live in the proximity of downtown, I would probably be paying close to $3,000, say living in DC or one of those places, but I don't.
Well, that's her. Did it show up?
Yes.
So, yeah.
She had that shit on her mind. Like, yo, God was like, these white men is fucking up. So, you know what's sad, man? There's so many people that they claim to be religious, they claim to believe in God, but then whenever somebody be like, God told me to throw bricks at white men, they be like, lock up, obviously.
Yeah, like, have you met white men in Pittsburgh?
Come on. God really couldn't have said, maybe God thought Ben Roethlisberger was gonna walk by. You don't know?
Right.
Come on.
Right. Exactly.
She might be without sin. Y'all don't know. She might be the one he was talking about.
I can throw this stone.
Right. He said it was all good. I ain't did nothing bad. All right, man. Last thing, sword ratchetness. A commentary, yeah, they are lucky she didn't have a sword, because if God would have said, yeah, cut these white men in half, I think she would have did it.
Oh, they'd have been sliced up.
Commentary, yeah. That's how we know God is black. That's
that really does look like Morgan Freeman in my head.
Yeah.
like better skin, but yeah.
He's Morgan Freeman from Wanted, apparently. He's Thug Boy. Thug Morgan Freeman and shit. he could be Orlando from
American Gods.
From American Gods. He could be that god. Maybe it was a Nazi talking to her. Like, kill these motherfuckers. Three men were arrested in Leamington after police found this samurai sword in their car. An Audi A3 was stopped at 3 a.m. on Thursday after police received reports of a pedestrian having been hit by a car. A Japanese-style ceremonial sword was found inside the vehicle, and a 23-year-old man and a 16-year-old boy, both from Coventry, were arrested on suspicion of possessing an offensive weapon in a public space. A 34-year-old man, also from Coventry, was arrested on suspicion of possessing an offensive weapon in a public place and suspicion of possessing cannabis. A man in his 40s was taken to Warwick Hospital for treatment to what are thought to be minor injuries to his head, leg, and arm. It's not clear yet if the incidents are linked, but officers would like to hear from anyone who may have witnessed a collision on High Street. Wow. Three dudes driving around at 3 a.m. with a sword in the car. Something was high on that street.
Died at night.
What'd you say?
Somebody was gonna die that night.
Yeah, somebody was high on that street, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that's it for today's show. Mel, as always, it is lovely to have you.
It is.
Thanks for having me. It's always so super fun.
We love having you on.
We appreciate you, and we'll be back tomorrow, guys. So until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.